Hey everyone, thank you again for tuning in. This is Radio Aaron, the voice of Lucifer. And we're having some interesting technical things here, but we are going to be bringing you the streaming video. Just wanted to let everyone know that. Also, the video will be streaming at a pretty high rate, about 323 kilobit stream per second. So if you don't have broadband internet connection, it'll should just default to the audio. And the video will be going up on the archives once we do start doing the stream. We're going to switch over to video after the first break. So we'll have to bring the stream down to realign it with the video, and then we'll be right back up after that. So we're going to just do audio for the first segment of the show. Okay, so thank you, everyone. And on the phone with me, of course, is Aaron C. Donahue. Hello, Aaron.
I am here, and I am, of course, I have an important message for people. I'm actually quite pissed off about something that's happened recently. And we're going to talk about some real spooky stuff during the show today. You're going to love it. I'm going to tell you, I've been holding back. Of course, a lot of people suspect that I've been holding back a lot of information for a long, long time. And today you'll discover some of that information that I have been withholding. This is just the beginning. Last week, of course, we had a lot of manipulation, a lot of harassment that... You know, as Nietzsche would say, that which does not destroy me makes me stronger. So in this case, we're going to be talking about this issue. Of course, everybody wants to know about the Prophet Yahweh, the evocation of the UFO in Las Vegas. And apparently this ended up on ABC News and Art Bell a couple of nights ago. And, well, you're going to love this one. Jennifer... just finished working a blind target. I finished working a target on this, and of course, I'm one of the very best remote viewers in the world. We have discovered what is behind this whole thing. You're going to love this one. But in the first case I want to discuss, we have the subject of Midwares, the Vault of Cthulhu, the Return of the Old Ones, or the Ant People, as the Hopi refer to them, and of course, environmental issues, the hormonal imbalance created because of the overproduction of plastics the world over, and what that is doing to your health. The reason why we have Viagra today, you know, we didn't need that 50 years ago, and it's not because of old age. All of the type of cancers you're seeing are a result of this xenoestrogen, and we're going to discuss that. Also, the initiations of the Primary 11 have begun. Steve, I guess last night a video stream, you were there.
Yes, I was. It was very, very cool.
Yeah.
Good to see you guys. I'm like, hey.
I'm happy. Heather and Julie, they're both with me now, and we're going to be bringing the others. Sasha, you're next. You'll be here soon. And so this is a really happy time for me, personally. Very sad time for me when I look at the world and I see the situation that's happening now. And I'm especially troubled by the recent manipulation of the psyche of our society here in the West. Concerning this matter with this poor fellow, this Prophet Yahweh. Now, we'll talk more about that later, but of course the last issue besides this would be the health and fitness, and I'll give you an update on what we're doing here in the body transformation, mind transformation of myself, along with the Primary 11. They're here to heal me and to assist me and make sure that I am in peak performance spiritually, psychologically, and physically to initiate contact, real contact, not this hocus-pocus stuff we're going to discuss about concerning the so-called Prophet Yahweh. This poor man, this Prophet Yahweh, you have to remember, sure, like a lot of us, he's seen a lot of UFOs. Yeah, I've seen UFOs for a number of years. A lot of us have. And many times you wonder if you are not responsible for bringing that UFO down or bringing this into fruition or into sight. I'll tell you, I was in Arizona. And I was driving down the road, and I was with someone next to me, and I was leaving Phoenix and heading for Sedona, and I was noticing that there was just something really odd. I had this odd feeling, and all of a sudden, to my shock, there was this fantastic, this silver craft right in front of me, and I noticed there was no one slowing down. That shocked me more than seeing the craft, actually, because people were ignoring it. And I noticed that the person sitting next to me was staring right at it, but it is as if they were lost in a daydream, as if they just drifted off for a moment. And I looked back, and it was gone. You never see these things appear, nor do you see them disappear, the same as it is with an apparition or a ghost. You never see the point where they appear or disappear. They are, and then they are not. That's indicative of something that you're seeing. And that's indicative of something that you're seeing within your mind. You are being manipulated. Now, what's interesting is that I have seen these UFOs, and this prophet Yahweh has seen them. His mind is open to see these things. He really does see these UFOs. The problem is that other people are not seeing them all the time. That's about to change, not because of what Prophet Yahweh is doing, but because of what we are doing. I'm not saying that we're the only ones doing this. You people listening to this, especially those of you who have seen UFOs, you know that your mind is open to this. I suspect after doing a mind probe on this fellow, this Prophet Yahweh, to see what was going on, I wanted to know if he was involved with the hoax or the prank. I wanted to know, because this situation, this UFO in Las Vegas, was a prank. It's a fake. We got the smoking gun. Whole thing. They pulled it off, and pulled it off well, and manipulated the Art Bell Show, the Coast to Coast Network. They manipulated ABC News, and I believe that the ABC News people are also in on it. They act like it. In fact, you can take that footage and play it backwards and listen to the contradiction. You can hear the lie backwards in the voice of the person who's speaking about this. Do we have a link posted concerning this footage of the ABC News of the UFO? It was evoked by the Prophet Yahweh.
Yeah, it's actually in the forum. I posted the link in the forum.
Oh, great. So the UFO refers to, of course, an unidentified flying object. Technically, that's what this is. But I have identified it. And we have the smoking gun. Jennifer has just finished validating my data concerning what this is. Now, this has been done before. I've done this where you take a fog machine, you take two projectors, and you direct the image in such a way that these images collide, and they create an apparition or an image in what appears to be in midair, like a spirit. It's fun. You've seen this in clubs or places like this. You see it at Disneyland. You see Phantasmagoria, which was my first. My first crush was on Phantasmagoria, standing at the end of the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland in California. Not Disney World, Disneyland. That's the place. And there's it. I'm dying to meet you again. You've seen these images. And the thing is, today our technology is such that we can create apparitions or images in the sky that appear real. And they don't have to be. In the old days, they had to be stationary. Today, our sophistication technology is such that you can move this stuff around if you need to, or you can make it expand, or you can make it move as if it's flying. And with a simple flip of a switch or the simple movement of something fixed on a tripod, you can cause something to move rapidly in the sky at a great distance if it's fixed on a tripod here on the ground. What we found when we looked at this situation is that I looked into the mind of this Prophet Yahweh, and he really believes what he's doing. He's not lying to you. He's seeing UFOs. Sure, the guy might smoke a lot of dope, and his mind's open to this sort of thing, and that happens to a lot of people in that situation. But I'm going to tell you what. I don't know if he really smokes dope or not. When I went into his mind, I found that he has been prone in the past to altered states of consciousness, which suggests to me that he smokes a lot of dope, which is, you know, it's okay for him. The thing about the guy is I really like him. He's really I don't want to belittle or berate the convictions of this prophet Yahweh. But what I want to say to you, and I want to warn you about, is that he has a Christian fix on this. And it is incorrect. And you are being manipulated. The psyche, your psyche is being manipulated by something that we're going to talk about here. Well, it's going to scare the hell out of you. You're going to see how things are connected. It's not a conspiracy. It's very logical. It's logical. It makes sense. And if I were in a position of power, if I were in the shoes of people who needed to keep things rolling and keep things together, I would do it a little differently, but I would certainly use some of the same techniques because they're highly effective in manipulating the mass psyche of people, especially here in the West. It's easy to do that in the United States. Now, concerning Prophet Yahweh, he's convincing. He really believes that he's involved with bringing the evocation of the UFO. But he's doing it in the name of Christ. He's doing it using Hebrew. He's using the Old Testament. He's using sort of the mystical side of this archaic religion. And this is profane. It's profane because it's not real. It's fraudulent. You're being manipulated into thinking that somehow the other side. We can't put the name of Jesus on this contact issue. And there are forces that are really, really trying hard to take the name of Lucifer and strip it off and to replace the name of Lucifer with Jesus and put it on this contact issue. Ed Dames is trying to do this. Art Bell Show, they're trying to do this. What I had to say on the Art Bell Show so long ago about this very issue is offended a very large number of people. My show right here has offended somebody very high up. Somebody with enough know-how to manipulate the mass psyche of people using a national media source like ABC. And if you'll notice the behavior, if you click on that link and look at the news story, if you notice the behavior of these people who are reporting this issue, they're giddy. It's as if they're not really taking this seriously. Somebody knows something.
Exactly.
Yeah. The whole thing reeks. And the only person who isn't giddy, who is taking himself seriously and the whole issue of UFO seriously, is Prophet Yahweh, as he calls himself. And like I say, I want to remove him from the equation here because he really, like many of us, like myself, he believes in UFOs. He's seen them. He's not lying to you when he tells you that he's seen UFOs. He has. He doesn't have the inside information on this. He's being manipulated, and your eyeballs are being manipulated with a fake during that show. Remember, for those of you who don't look at the video stream here, this is an ABC News affiliate out of Las Vegas, and what we had is we had a place and a time that was supposedly picked by the studio manager, somebody managing the story. And a field camera was placed, an interview was taking place with this Prophet Yahweh, who claimed that he could call down or evoke a UFO over the baseball field. I believe that's a baseball diamond we're looking at there. And in doing so, he prays, and all of a sudden, you find this dancing ball of light in the sky over or somewhere within a close proximity to an Air Force base, a U.S. Air Force base. Yeah. There you see this dancing ball of light, right? And right there during the show, and all of a sudden you see the person interviewing Yahweh, Prophet Yahweh, and he's going, he's just amazed. He said, look at that. I'm paraphrasing this guy, but he's pointing out in the sky, look at this. This is something that I did not expect. The entire program reeked. I don't think there's a single bit of it that is convincing, except for the light and the timing. How could Prophet Yahweh have known that that would happen? Someone else knew that he was going to be there doing that program, and if you play the sound bits of all the people doing the interview, play it backwards. Take the whole thing and play back and hear the contradiction. Because if you're lying, if I'm lying to you, you can take what I'm saying right now and play it backwards And if I contradict in reverse what I'm saying to you as you hear it now, you've got a problem. When you listen to that program and you play it backwards, you're going to hear some contradiction. You're going to hear some words that contradict what they're saying as they're speaking to you. That's one way of looking at this. Another way to do it is to simply remote view the object. Now, I gave Jennifer, my sister, a blind target. And she just finished this blind target, and she's going to have the data up here. You can go to ummo.cc and look at the all you have to do is click on the data target. It's referred to as Prophet Yahweh's UFO ABC footage in Las Vegas. And what you do is you click on that, and you'll see, with my data, you'll see three sources of light from the ground. Not from the sky, from the ground. These are three separate lasers. And what they're doing is they are pointing, and these beams of light are colliding in the sky, creating an image for you to see. It is a fake. That is not a UFO. When I went inside this manipulation, when I went inside this thing, I did not find the mechanization or the essence or the intelligence or the sophistication of something that would indicate to me that this was a UFO or an alien craft or of some higher intelligence. The other possibility is this could have been some sort of balloon, but I have discounted that. I could be wrong about that, but what I find in my data is was not a balloon that was being tossed about within the trade winds or some draft wind or some sort of turbulence in that area of the atmosphere. What I found is that I see three distinct sources of light, not from the sky, but from the earth in the area. And these three sources of light are aimed to meet each other at a certain point in the sky, and they're creating an image. These are lasers. We have the technology to do this. We can make Jesus come back in the sky if we want to. I can create an image of aircraft flying through the sky. It's a great military option. It's a great technology that can be used to scare the hell out of your enemy or to manipulate your enemy into thinking that you have something coming at you in the sky, when in fact that's not what you aim at to shoot down, because it's only a laser. It's creating an image. So you just wasted a missile. Your defenses have been diminished thus far because of it. This technology is very important to the military, and has battlefield applications. Psychological warfare can be, we don't really want to get into that right now, but I want to discuss with you and make you realize, I want you to understand why something like this would take place, and I want you to ask yourself the question, why would this take place right now? Why Las Vegas? Why there? We know, first of all, Las Vegas has the technology. This place is a circus, and it's a wealthy circus. There you'll have the world's best technology to create this kind of imagery. Whether you're on stage in Las Vegas, or you're outside in Las Vegas, you want to create a light show outside, or you simply want to use it to create a UFO image as a prank, or as something to, with a more of a malicious intent. In this case, there was a malicious intent. Somebody wanted to slap the name of Yahweh on this, of Jesus on this, and they wanted to make it goofy. They want to make people like me, they want to make us look like fools. This is an attempt to discredit the Luciferian movement. Not me or the Luciferian movement per se, but those who might be thinking in this direction. There's somebody Christian that really doesn't like what I have to say about human spirituality, about spirituality in general. And they would really like to go to the core of the Luciferian movement and destroy it forever. What's interesting is that Jennifer has recently told me, before all of this, and even now, she's been warning me and telling me, you know, Aaron, there's something coming that's going to attempt to take you down. It's going to take all of this down. And it's not a personal attack on you. You know, you've already got your death threats and the whole thing. But it's something else. and we now have discovered what it is. There's going to be a media attack. They can't take me down here on the internet because I'm tenacious. I never give up. I'm not stupid. I'm smart. And I'm a psychic. I have a spiritual knowledge. And I know what they're doing. I'm going to tell you some things here. They're going to scare you. You're going to love it. You're going to see the inner workings of the way the mass psyche is manipulated the world over. We're going to talk about Temple Solar and what really happened in Canada and in Europe. We're going to talk about Jim Jones and the CIA. We're going to talk about what really happened. We're going to talk about David Koresh. We're going to talk about what really happened. How was your psyche manipulated by this whole situation? We're going to talk about these very spooky things, and we're going to bring you to the core of something that you're going to find fascinating, and that concerns the latest mass killing, very similar to Temple Solar. And these people, some of them committed suicide, some of them were murdered. This was, of course, the Hale-Bopp cult, a cell of people who were manipulated, who were maturing. A cell of people who were in a position to behave a certain way according to orders, to produce a certain result, a cult, if you will. Now, people think I'm starting a cult. No. I work within the occult. I'm here to reveal that which is hidden. That's what I do. This situation with the Hale-Bopp cult, that's a cell of people who are in a position to act as a sacrificial lamb for a higher ideal, or an ideal of someone that is involved with the very big picture throughout the world. We'll go more into that a little bit later. Let's go back to Prophet Yahweh. He is a very, very small fish, and it was very easy to manipulate the situation. Art Bell, the Art Bell show, I believe it was it George Norrie? I don't listen to that show anymore. I don't even care. Their numbers aren't doing as well. They're gaining a different population of people that really don't have very much to do with the future. Young people don't listen to that show. So I understand that many of you listening to me now have no idea what I'm talking about when I say coast to coast AM radio network, because you don't even listen to that crap anymore. It's gone Christian. And young people don't listen to it, so it really doesn't have a future. You're listening to me here. This is where the future is. We're not going to go Christian on you ever. I'm not going to sell out ever. I'm going to give you the truth. And, by the way, I want you to know that I'm risking my life right here and now. I'm risking my life to give you the truth. This fellow, this prophet, yeah, he doesn't know the truth. He thinks he knows it. He's just a pawn in a very, very big game. And to manipulate the mass psyche people, it's very easy to do this. And right now, someone has heard me. Perhaps a group of people have. They don't like what I'm telling you right now. I'm not kidding. And there's going to be an onslaught of media manipulation. The more successful I become, the more you're going to see situations such as the Prophet Yahweh evoking UFOs, which are not real UFOs. It's a fake. It's a fraud. And if you want to know it's a fake or a fraud, we have the remote viewing numbers. For those of you who are trained to remote view, give this to someone you trust, as a remote viewer, and give them a blind target. Have them look at this. You'll discover that there's some hanky-panky going on here. This thing is manipulated from the ground up. It's not real. But when you go into the mind, you have to be careful, because when you do a mind probe on Prophet Yahweh, you'll discover he's not a fake. He's the only real person there was Prophet Yahweh. And there's some question about how much did the crew know about this. Probably not anything, but I suspect that on a subconscious level, they knew everything. They smelled. When you look at the nonchalant, the sort of the attitudes that you see with these people describing the story, it's as if they don't believe it themselves. It's just they don't even care about it. You know, they're on to the next story. they're on. They want to talk about the weather. Did you get that impression, Steve, from this?
Yeah, it was funny. They're like, wow, that was some pretty freaky stuff. So let's go to the Doppler radar and see what the weather's going to look like.
Yeah, I'm the next story.
Soundbite. There was a UFO in the sky. Why don't you put some more people on that?
Yeah, could we just do an investigation or something, you know? Maybe just...
Let's go to the weather. Let's see what Doppler radar's bringing up.
Sure, let's just go to weather. Yeah, by the way, all these happy faces, they're not even concerned about it. Somebody knows something, and you can smell it when you read between the lines. Look at the body language of these people. And it's almost they're going to bust out laughing any minute, thinking they're going to get away with this.
Yeah. It has that whole prank feel to it.
It does. And the thing about it is, and I can take a joke, really I can. I'd love it if someone pulled a UFO prank on me, but I tell you, I will investigate it, and I'm for real. I can tell you if it's real or fake. That's a fake UFO. It's not a UFO. It's not a flying saucer. It's not a spacecraft.
Well, I can see you on the stream, and there's a UFO right behind you.
Yeah.
Don't look down.
But this Prophet Yowie's, he's mad at me now. But he made a lot of money, and you know, good for him. You know, he's charging, what, $7.95 for people to go to his website. Now, he got rich overnight doing the Art Bell Show. If you'll notice, when I went on the Art Bell Show, I didn't ask you for a dime. This is free. This is costing me money. And so there, you might look at a motivation here concerning this matter. This guy not only is making money on this bogus situation, and a lot of it, but he's invited on places such as the Coast to Coast AM radio and ABC News to talk about this thing. I am shunned from media. I'm the real thing. I'm the thing that they don't want you to see. They don't want you to hear what I'm telling you right now. They? I'm going to quote Willie Nelson. If I could have figured out who they was, I would have killed the son of a bitch a long time ago. It's one of my favorite quotes from Willie Nelson. They? There really is no they. It's quite logical. If you understand the way to keep a dying society together, to keep it cohesive, this is highly effective. And we are a dying society of people. The world over. Every social institution known to mankind, and I've said this before, it is failing. But the general population does not know this. They're going about their lives like zombies. Look around you. Look at your family. Look at your brothers and sisters. Look at your mothers and fathers and your sons and daughters. Look around you. They're zombies. They're barely conscious of themselves. They're not bad people. They just don't know anything. And how do you wake them up? There's little time left. I am convinced that either you are awake now or you will never be awake. It is not our job to wake people up. It is my job to call you in, to separate you from the profane. I'm not here to wake people up. There isn't time. Our planet's ecosystem is failing miserably. You don't have time. We need to make contact, and we can't screw around with slapping the name of Jesus on the issue of contact. That's fake. All of it's fake. Jesus is fake. Whole thing. What I'm doing isn't fake, and obviously it's causing a great deal of concern among certain people who would like to manipulate what you see. And those who can control your eyeballs can control your brain. And to use these fake images in the sky and to give you the impression that it was just a random situation. Oh, come on. Like the military didn't know that very, very next door to its base is going to be an ABC news crew filming a UFO. Of course they knew this. It's their job to know what's going around those bases. A lot of people knew this in the Vegas area. Everyone at ABC knew it. So it wasn't the giving impression that the whole thing was a big secret, that it was just a random spot chosen, wasn't.
No.
It's a great opportunity to set up your lasers and pull the prank, and it pulled off well. It actually convinced people on coast to coast that this was real. It's all fake.
I was wondering if if they had posted notams about there's going to be any laser activity over NOAA's Air Force Base for air pilots to watch out for.
There is a technology that, I don't want to talk about this sort of thing too much, but I'm just going to say that the old days of seeing a beam of light stream across the sky, those days are gone, okay?
Well, they were talking about having lasers to warn pilots that they're going into restricted airspace.
Yes, those you can see from a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see them, and they're alternating green and red.
Mm.
And they're supposed to be Morse code, but there's that's another issue.
Okay.
But I'm talking about if you're on the ground, you should the technology. I'm not talking about seeing a beam of laser like you're setting a laser line in construction.
Right.
Where you see this beam of red line reflecting across the atmosphere, you know, if it's fog or whatever. There is a way. I don't want to get into that, but those days are gone. You can direct this technology in such a way to create an image in the sky, and unless you're actually remote viewing it, you're not going to be able to see the source of this light very well. And who's going to be there to detect this? The film crew? Their cameras are pointed up at the sky. So, you know, there's just something about this whole thing that reeks. And I know what it is, and we're calling them on it. The whole thing's a fake. And it can be done. It's done all the time, by the way. So I meant it when I said there'll be no contact in the United States, and I really meant it. By the way, Prophet Yahweh claims that that very soon, within a couple of months, I believe that's what he'd said, that you're going to see a great deal of UFO activity over Las Vegas. If you do, I'll bet that'll change now that I'm blowing the whistle on this. But if you do see UFO activity over Las Vegas in the next couple of months, it's probably a prank. It's not real. Don't fall for it. And Jennifer's coming on after the break, and what we're going to do is she's going to describe what she had received in her blind data. And by the way, you were right there as she was originally describing it, Steve. She just finished this, yeah. Would you say it's a pretty clear confirmation? Because you see, what I told Steve is that I have three lights and that you can easily create the image from the ground to manipulate people looking at it. And Jennifer, did she not describe, without me telling her a thing, that she has seen three lights coming from the ground, and that she feels like there's like a blanket covering everyone, like as if something is being covered up.
Yes, yes.
Was that amazing?
That was cool, actually, because I had just got her on the phone, and she had just finished up the data, and I that's what was really freaky, because you could hear it in her voice. You know, she'd just gotten done, and It was cool to see from an inside perspective on how you guys work together. It was just amazing.
A remote viewing and psychic functioning in PAN is absolutely fascinating. There's nothing like it in the world. And we're the very best in the world at what we do. We can investigate anything and get behind anything to see what's going on. I really didn't know what I would find, because when I looked at the video of the UFO that the Prophet Yahweh supposedly brought on by praying, bringing it down, the evocation, I thought, oh no, you know, this is terrible. You know, now we got Jesus to deal with, and it stunk.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what was wrong here, and so I cleared my mind, and to be sure, I had a blind. This is how I really compare my work. And so I remote viewed this, I looked at it, and I really studied it hard from all the angles that I could. And I didn't sleep last night. That's what I did last night.
Yeah.
So I really worked on this, yeah.
That's true, because I didn't get to bed until after the sun came up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and by the way, you saw what was going on before that.
Yeah, I tell you. Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm a happy guy.
Yes, you are a happy guy. I can't wait for the first temple to open.
Yeah, you're all going to have, it's all going to be beautiful like this eventually, so everyone will be invited. It'll be a great time, and why not be in love and happy and have all this greatness around you? I'm so blessed. I have two beautiful, beautiful women that are with me now, and they are they not, Steve, just They're inspirational.
Yep.
Yeah.
They sure are.
Yeah. And it's so nice to have Heather and Julie here. And what can I say? I'm just really happy about the whole thing. And I feel younger and happier today. I feel that my body is beginning to regenerate because, you see, I've fallen off the ladder. And so I'm really in bad shape because I'm swollen. My ribs are swollen because I have broken ribs. And my gut is swollen because of a trauma to my stomach and my back. And so I have a very bad condition right now. I'm not very healthy because of the trauma. But I feel better today because they're here to make sure that I heal, that I'm going to bring back my body that I had when I was 23. We're going to do that. I'm pretty close to it now, but we're going to really bring that back, and we're going to heal me. And you're going to see the transformation. And I want everyone to join me in this transformation into the ultimate body and the ultimate mind and to have the ultimate functioning right brain. I want all of us to be involved here because we have something wonderful to work with each other. We have something wonderful to work with, and we need to work with each other to the end that we make contact. And if your temple is clean, if your body is clean, if you are physically fit, if you are healthy of mind and body, you will not only be happy, but your windshield, your spiritual eye will be clear. Your path will be known. And you'll be less likely to waver. So when you look at someone like Prophet Yowie and you look at him and he's in terrible condition, how clear is his windshield? He might have an ability, and I do believe that years of smoking dope or whatever he's been doing has really opened his right brain to see the spirit world. I believe that he can do this. However, his windshield isn't clean. His body is unclean. My body isn't perfect. I'm on the road to cleanliness. I'm cleaning it from inside out and from head to toe. And I have these beautiful, beautiful women coming here, and they are going to see to it that this energy, this revitalizing energy, is amplified within and from without my body. And I'll be ready for you, and I will never give up. All of you listening to this, I want you to know I'm here. I'm not going to leave you behind. You're not going to be left behind. And I never give up, ever. Would rather die. And I mean it. And I'm not afraid of death. I will be here for you for contact. And I will fight for you for contact. Those of our kind. You are being called. The calling is now, and there will be a test for you. There will be a test for all the great religions, and they will ultimately fail. There will be a great amount of anger over this, and they will point out to us, and they will blame us. We will become their scapegoats in the way that perhaps Hitler made the Jews the scapegoat. The Jews are not the chosen. We're all the chosen. What happens when you step on a spiritual path, such as the one we're on, in a world of spiritual blindness, of hatred? These people are dispossessed. They're zombies. Look at your families. Look at the people around you. Ask yourself, how much do they know of themselves? If you don't know who you are, how can you know who I am? Be there in the days of be with us. We are here now. And it's time for the calling. I'm not your leader. You are your own leader. The divinity lies within you. Here, we share this divinity. We share the truth. We don't own it. It's time for the calling. And we have something very, very important for your soul. We need to continue the information loop. You've got to be here with us, and you need to tell your friends. Those around you who are awake and aware. By the way, sometimes I get excited. The last show I did, in all this trouble, I was vomiting. I never show weakness. I was vomiting, and I had a terrible headache. I got exposed to some mold, some awful stuff, and. So I can now say pomegranate. And also, for some reason, I got stuck in a pattern of pronouncing the word incorrectly. What was that word, Steve? Sometimes I do that. What was it?
Caveat.
Caveat. I usually say caveat, but if for some reason I've been saying it incorrectly. And thank you, listeners, for correcting me, because I cannot sound like a damn fool. I just want you to know that I'm not perfect, but when I get into the spirit, sometimes I lose a connectiveness with the intellect that's involved with semantics and proper pronunciations and so on. It's sort of like if you're ill, you're not really quite there, and so you have to work. You can't take it for granted. You've got to work hard, and you've got to make sure that you keep the intellect rolling along with your spiritual work, because if you don't, you look like a damn fool. And that's what I'm working on as well. So there are many aspects, there are many latitudes, there are many different ways that I'm approaching the regeneration of myself from head to toe. And I'm not the only one doing this. I know I'm getting a lot of emails from me from people who are inspired to do the same thing. And by the way, they're doing it without me initiating this. They just have this feeling that now's the time to get ready for something. And they're doing it by cleaning their bodies, cleaning the temple so they have a spiritual awareness that is clean. This is what you must do. Anyway, so I think we've covered the issue of the Yowie.
Actually, we're at the top of the hour. So
okay, and Jennifer will be coming back, and she will be describing her data, and then we'll go on with the other subjects. We have a very interesting subject concerning hormonal imbalance and why so many people are getting breast cancer, both men and women, prostate cancer. These secondary sex characteristics in people are being affected by this, and there's a reason why Viagra and Cialis, by the way, Viagra has been shown to give you blindness. You know, there's a joke in there, I realize that. But Cialis and Viagra can possibly induce blindness. And so these are not safe drugs. And, you know, men in their 50s, 20, 30 years ago, did not have Viagra. They didn't need it. Why? What has changed recently? Why are men, why are fertility rates dropping or being manipulated? Why are men no longer getting hard when they have sex? They're losing their erection. Why is that? It's not because they have a lack of interest. It's because of xenoestrogen in your air, in your breathing. It's in your water, it's in your soil, it's in your food, it's everywhere, and it's a result of the plastics industry. Everything, look around you. Everything's made of plastic, and it has to be because we're running out of resources. Too many people. And for many, many years, we've been stockpiling byproducts of the petroleum industry, which are perfect for manufacturing plastics. Instead of wood products, we have plastic products. And that's the result of industrial pollution. And now you're breathing it, and now it's giving you cancer, and it's killing you in large numbers. It's a cumulative effect. If we stop producing plastic right now, it would take generations to clean up our environment of xenoestrogen. Xenoestrogen is killing you. It's disrupting your sex lives. It's giving you cancers that you shouldn't get. And with that, we'll leave you there, and we'll come back and talk more about this and the other subjects. And of course, the Midwares and the Vault of Cthulhu. I have something fascinating to tell you about the ant people that the Hopi describe. If you think about these aliens, they do kind of look like ant people, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, we'll discuss that when we come back.
All right, we'll go ahead and take our break, and we'll recalibrate the stream for the video, and I'll get Jennifer on the line, on the phone, and we'll go ahead and bring all that up. So everyone get ready. The stream is going to be increased in kilobits, so hopefully you have a good internet connection speed. So we'll be right back. All right, everyone sit tight. You're listening to Radio Aaron, the voice of Lucifer.
All right.
Okay, back to the show.
Yeah, that. Oh, yeah, that. Yes, we left you with a few things. You know, this, Jennifer, you're back, and are you out of bilocation now? For those of you who don't know what bilocation is, you can't drive, you can't really do things that you could normally do in left brain mode. You are truly incapacitated And so, Jennifer, are you back yet? Are you able to really
yes.
articulate? Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes people up to an hour. Sometimes it takes me up to 3 hours to come back completely after a session, depending, of course, on what I'm doing. This is pretty heavy stuff because it involved essentially the destruction of everything that we've been working for concerning the Luciferian movement. So this was very disturbing to you. Am I correct, Jennifer?
Yes, it was. Yep.
Now, if you go to the data, at the very top of the page, you'll see data. Click on that, and you'll see the page open up, and you'll see something that says IT at the top. This is Jennifer's idea template, the final template of her work. This is a blind target. And you can see how it compares to my data. My data, I have three lights. And I believe that three lasers, you only need two lights to create an image, but three lights are optimal. And in my data, I have three lights creating an image in the sky. You see in the ground below the image in the sky and in the whirling action, you'll see that literally you have lasers. Or lights from the ground below creating the image in the sky. And I've seen this before, and you have a stage. It's as if you're looking at a theater or a play, something that's not real. And that's exactly what you're looking at below. Jennifer, are these people watching something above?
Yes, there are people gathering. There's lots of them, and they're looking upward.
Excuse me. I've been up for 4 days, so this is a heck of a time to have my stream up.
But you look good, though.
I do?
Yeah.
I think I look terrible. I'm looking at myself on the screen right now, and I'm like, oh, man. Boy, geez, we're going to scare people away. The first day, I've been up for 4 days. I was going to sleep last night, but I actually felt it was important to work on this this data concerning the UFO that was evoked, because I'll be honest with you, I'm going to tell you right now, I was concerned, because I wanted to find out what was going on here, and I didn't know, and if this was a real UFO, I'm going to tell you right now, you would know it. I would tell you right now that this prophet Yahweh is onto something, but I'll tell you he's not. Sadly, he's not. Sadly, he's being manipulated. So we're not going to let the general public fall too far into this deception, because that's exactly what it is. So your eyes are being manipulated by something that isn't real. And if you look at my data, you'll find the astounding similarities between Jennifer's work and my work. My work, you'll see the lasers, and of course we'll have that data posted soon. My data. It's still sitting here on my desk. It should be. Do you have it now? Jennifer, it's been faxed to you.
No.
Well, again, this is last-minute stuff, so for those of you listening to this in the archives, you'll be able to pull this image up and compare the two things. It's very important you do that, because you remember that Jennifer was given a blind target. I worked my target last night. Instead of sleeping, this is what I did. And you'll find that in my data, you'll see technology on the ground creating an image in the sky, which is not something that I had expected at all. This blew me away. And now that I'm able to think about this without being in my location, I'm literally blown away by the attempt to discredit anyone that might be initiating contact using a similar technique as I have been talking about for a number of years. The evocation of UFOs is an occult endeavor. This was an utter mockery of the very thing I was just talking about, 2 weeks ago, Steve?
Yes.
And notice that after I talk about this on this very popular radio program here, this internet radio program, the future of broadcasting, free broadcasting, you're not going to get the truth on AM radio or anywhere else that's controlled by the FCC. You're going to get manipulation here. You will not get manipulation. You'll get the truth. Now, I'm going to say one more time. If this had been a real UFO, This is a very serious matter. It's not something that you can mess around with. If this had been a real UFO, I have an obligation, a spiritual obligation, to tell you about this, to tell the world about this. We all have this obligation. And if it had been a real UFO, this would have been a mind-blowing bit of evidence for the whole world to see. And notice the reaction of most people. It's not convincing because on some level, everyone knows it's a hoax. The only one that doesn't is this poor prophet Yahweh person. For him, seeing a UFO is not a hoax. And anyway, most of the UFOs I've seen don't look anything like that. Would you concur with that, Jennifer?
Yes, I would.
Yes, and the UFO I have on footage doesn't have any of the characteristics that you see concerning this apparition or this light, which is manipulated from below. All right, and in Vegas, what a place to do it. It's an easy place to do that. All right, and this has happened before, by the way. A lot of sightings have been the result of similar technology, if not this technology. Okay, let's get on to the next thing. By the way, Jennifer, did you want to make some comments about your work? Did you want to make some comments about this? What did you feel about this?
I really felt like there was something like a veil or a blanket over the eyes of these people. Like there was just something, I didn't put fake in the data, but just something blocking them. And it really gave me a feeling that this was disastrous. And it really felt personal. I ended up experiencing high anxiety after this data, and I'm not sure why. Even now, when I look back at it, other than it could be something that could be very detrimental to what we're trying to do, and it felt like that kind of like it's disastrous. Because it's going to lead a lot of people off the wrong path here, and I'm rather concerned about this. The data looks just like my other contact data, except it's different. It doesn't look like it. You know, it's completely different.
Yeah, and Steve, were you not? I remember we were talking off air, and you were talking about the fact that you felt like something was being manipulated or pulled away from us. Like we're being
yes. In the chat, it was very interesting because I went into the chat all last week. I don't know if any people saw me in there or not. But I went into the chat just to see what was going on, and it felt very vacant. It felt like the tide was receding. That was the feeling that I got.
Oh, yes, of course.
And it felt like things were pulling away from this for some odd reason. Like something was creating this reason for withdrawal.
It's an assault. Without a doubt, it's an assault. And we're way ahead of it. We're calling it. And, of course, our shows are far more interesting than anything that you'll hear on our bell, and it's gone Christian there, and you can bet that you'll never hear me there again, ever. You're never going to hear me on the George Snorri show talking about this.
I had a bad feeling all week, a real panic attack kind of feeling all week, and I bet this is what was going on.
Yeah, I think so too, and I felt like something was going to come along to manipulate public perception of what we're doing, because what we're doing is it's so serious. It is our only hope, and there are people that are very, very much, their belief systems are challenged by me. They're challenged by the Luciferian movement. They're challenged by you listening to this. And so there's going to be a great deal of effort. I'm convinced there'll be a great deal of effort to see to it that this is kept as quiet as possible. And that's impossible. Because once I start releasing the footage and what's really going on, you're not going to see a dancing light in the sky.
Well, this is the other thing. I looked at the footage of that newsreel clip that Steve has up on the site that you can download and look at. And while I was coming out of bilocation and posting the data, I looked at that. And the UFOs that I've seen don't look anything like that. When I see a UFO, the quality of light is much, much higher than that, and it's very distinct. You know when you see a UFO. That, to me, it wasn't clear enough. The light wasn't right, and the movement of it wasn't right either. The stuff
That's right.
that I've seen has been just bizarre, and
yep.
My experiences with UFOs. So that to me, it doesn't look real to me.
Especially with the quality of light. You know, when you're on acid, LSD, you get these hard edges on things, and you get this incredible vivid imagery all around you. Well, if you look at UFO lights, and it's, when you see a real UFO, it is very much like that, only it's deeper and it's more clean. You get this...
Exactly. It's crisp.
It's a quality of light that is something that you know humans cannot create.
Right. It's beyond anything that's...
It's jeweled, it's hard-edged, and it's beautiful. And you know you're looking... There's no question. You know you're looking at something extraterrestrial. You're looking at something of a higher intelligence. And these are the UFOs I'm talking about. This unidentified flying object has just been identified as a fake. It is a fraud. Do not fall for it. And those Christians at the George Snorri Coast to Coast program, they can fall for it for $7.95. I mean, this guy got rich doing this. He really did. There's an agenda here.
Yeah, and
he was rewarded.
Priced.
Yeah, and he did it for Christ. That's right.
Oh, yeah, and it was economically priced.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it always is for Christ.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this not to fear, this is just a bump in the road, but not for me. This is actually this is something that will make us stronger, because we are vigilant. We will make sure that when we see stuff like this and we're mocked, this is an indirect mockery of my work. I'm going to defend myself, and I'll do it effectively. And believe me, I'll be the first to tell you that I'm wrong if I think I'm wrong. And I'll tell you right now, my analysis, I'm 100% convinced. It is an absolute, I've seen this before. This, pardon me, this is a fake. This is an absolute fake. There's nothing real about this. Yes, you have to excuse me because my ribs are really giving me hell today.
After falling off a ladder, yeah.
Yeah, they're broken. But the thing is, this is the healing process, and so they really hurt. And, of course, my left lung has collapsed, so I can't breathe very well. But I'm doing okay. But we'll get through this just fine. All right. Now, let's get on to the next section of the show. You know, and this is the most exciting part of the show. We got through this garbage away with, and so let's get on to the midwares.
Yeah.
Now,
before you start, people are requesting that you look into the camera. They want to see you.
They want to see me look into the camera? Well,
yeah, they want to see you.
Yeah, I know.
You have a lot of fans.
Really?
Don't mean to put you on the spot.
There'll be more of me in the future. I'm actually thinking about turning the camera off because I'm looking at myself going, my, I haven't slept in 4 days and I look like it.
Well, just minimize that window so that you don't have to look at yourself.
Okay. All right.
You're going to talk about midwares. That's exciting. That's like
midwares.
My favorite topic.
You know, I was waiting for you to bring that back up again when you first talked about it a while back.
And the soulless clones. We're going to get to it, right?
Yes, and the soulless clones.
Not clowns, clones. Yeah. The soulless clones. Clowns are soulless as well, but I mean clones are even scarier. So we're going to be talking about that. But the midwares, this thing with the midware, I got to tell you something. You know, when I was 4 years old, I always had these vivid dreams and these vivid experiences, always in color. I'm a synesthete, and of course I hear colors, and all of my senses are to some degree not mixed up, but they're intertwined. That, in terms of evolution, is our next step. I'm very efficient at gathering information due to my senses and the way the information is processed concerning, you know, sensory input. All right, with the midware, I can tell you, I was 4 years old and I had this vivid experience, and I found myself. This is one of the first clear, and it's as if I've had the dream yesterday. I never forgot it. It was so vivid, so real, so incredibly impactful that I have never, ever forgotten this dream. I find myself on this checkerboard floor. Now, my background, of course, I'm familiar with checkerboard floors and Masonic temples and so on, Scottish Rite, the whole bit. Here you have this similar type of checkerboard floor. It's marble. And it's as if I'm on a temple floor. What is going on here? And I'm, you know, and then, I, you know, this is something that I can see as a four-year-old. Looking back on this, and I'm still dumbfounded by it. I'm crawling, and I have this desire to go through two pillars. One, the pillars, they're black, and the other one is white. And these are Romanesque pillars. And they're standing side by side, and there appears to be a doorway, and I'm crawling through this doorway. And I get through the doorway, and I see upon a stone slab, as if this thing is encased in it as well, like a coffer, like it's something entombed. And I can see it as well. Very strange. It looked to me like an elephant without legs. It was huge and electric like that. Very, very strange. I never forgot that image of that thing. And it knew I was there. It was in my mind. Its trunk, if you can call it that, was about to reach behind my head and grab it. Now, this is where this creature, whatever this thing was, it was sleeping, but I knew that if I had stayed there, it would have been awake, and it would have reached its trunk around to the back of my head. I knew that. That's all I knew about it. But at that moment, here's the strange thing about this dream. This is just a dream, if I'm telling you this. This is nothing more than a dream, something... It's hard to say that a four-year-old could imagine anything like this without life experience. Four-year-olds don't imagine things like this without life experience. How did this happen at 4 years old? I never forgot that image. Never forgot that dream. And here's the situation. Years later, I just had this feeling, it's time to talk about this. So I just, over coffee, sitting down with my mother, and I started talking about this checkerboard floor, and Mom, when I was a little baby, when I was 4 years old, Mom, I was crawling on this checkerboard floor towards me, and she stopped me right there, and she said, was it black and white? So yeah. So I saw that too. I was there. I was the one that pulled you out. My mother described everything that I had seen there, only she did not describe what was inside the vault. She didn't describe it because she was afraid to go in there. She was afraid for her son, and she crawled out through the Escher-like staircases, if you can call them that. You didn't know if you were going to fall due to gravity. You don't know if you were on the ceiling, on the wall. You had no idea where you were because it was four-dimensional, very Escher-like in that temple. So she got on her fours and was afraid that she was going to fall up or down these staircases, if you could call it that, and she got to me and pulled me out of there. I remember being pulled out. That's all I remember. And then I was awake. I was at the moment where this thing on a stone slab that looked like a giant elephant with no legs, just a trunk. And no ears, just a trunk. It was laying there, cold and still in the dark, as if it was entombed in this giant stone coffin. Now, my mother described to me, without me saying another word, with astounding accuracy, everything that I had experienced there, except for what I'd seen inside that temple. Inside, in between the two pillars, these Romanesque pillars. How strange that was. That was a doorway into something. Now, I never forgot this. And we have these mythologies. What's interesting about the Vault of Cthulhu, which is what I have to call this, is that, you know, science fiction is interesting because science fiction... Look at Jules Verne, for example. He described a submarine that we have today that there's no way he could have imagined existing during his time, but he did imagine it. And I believe that science fiction writers at a certain time in human history were capable of tuning in, because it was a style of writing that was very popular during the time of Jules Verne and during the time that Cthulhu was created in the mind of an author. The author that created the Cthulhu myth, his father was a 33rd degree Mason. So he picked up on, with his imagination, he picked up on some truth. He was able to access some light brain functioning and express it through his imagination. So, as with Jules Verne describing many of the technologies we see today, some of the science fiction writers before that were talking about shooting rockets to the moon and men walking on the moon, and this was considered to be, you know, impossible. But, of course, we see it today. What's interesting about Jules Verne and the author of Cthulhu is that they have described something with astounding accuracy. That we're looking at a midware. Cthulhu is another way of looking at midwares. Now, what are midwares? Some have described these creatures as somewhere between human beings and angelic beings, between angels and man. That is incorrect. These are the gatekeepers of the Garden of Eden. These are the gatekeepers of Earth. These midwares, there are three of them. Two of them do, in fact, you find them in sacred areas of the Earth. The third sleeps in a vault. The third is involved with the evocation of the Old Ones, or the Ant People, as the Hopi refer to them. Now, think of that in your mind. Think of a human being that looks like an ant, big eyes, with a thin, very efficient body, strong. Don't the aliens, don't the Greys look like Ant People? Isn't that interesting, the way the Hopi described the Ant People? Cross-culturally, you have many descriptions of the Old Ones that conform to the idea. I think the Hopi have described it better than any other culture, the Ant People. Spooky stuff. Now, I spent time with a two-horned priest in Hoda Villa, the oldest continuously inhabited village or area where people have lived on this American continent. And all of the things that I've learned there, we'll get back with that later. And you know, the Old Ones, what are we talking about here? The return of the Old Ones. It involves a ritual. It involves a ritual that has been waiting to happen. It's an escape hatch for us from a dying planet. We are information systems. We need to continue the loop of information. We gather information, and we need to go back in time to continue the information system. Our DNA, our cellular information is taken. We don't go. That information goes. We need answers to a current problem we have on this planet, of a dying planet. Maybe there will be some technology for us. We don't know what will happen. I just know this. We have to make contact. You have to be serious about it. You can't have some representative of Yahweh in the position of Tao, you know, praying to the heavens and having some fake orb come down and dance in the sky while everyone goes, woo, wow, for entertainment. That's incorrect. This is more serious. This is deadly serious. This is very, very serious because we're talking about your soul. We're talking about your existence. We are dying. We're a dying race of beings on a dying planet. We're in trouble, ecologically. We're on a planet of zombies. Time for the calling. It's time for us to get involved with the research and evocation of the Old Ones. Now, if you look at the Vault of Cthulhu and the way that it was described by not just one author, but various authors of science fiction, people who are very much into the cult of Cthulhu, if you can call it that, we can do this tongue-in-cheek, you know, we can really kind of make fun, make light of this and make fun of it, you know. For every joke, there's a seriousness to it. And the thing about Cthulhu is it is a fun way to look at a very, very serious issue. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened to me in Sedona, Arizona. Now, this midware creature is no longer there. During the time that the violet light, if you listen to my previous show, a violet light hit my anahata, the heart chakra. And what happened is that my life had changed. And I ended up living, after going through Psytech and the whole bit, I ended up living in Sedona. And there, I didn't know why, that's just where we were. It's where I ended up being. It's where I decided I had to go there. And being there, I met something that was so frightening, so strange. Never forgot it. And it always reminded me of the vault that I had crawled through. Now, this is why I know about the trunk and what it intended to do. I knew it was going to do that to me as a four-year-old, but I didn't know why. I actually had that happen to me in Sedona, Arizona. I am hiking. The sun is going down, and I know I'm going to have to stay the night, because you don't want to hike at night throughout the Red Rock in Sedona in that area. Very desolate, very dangerous. So I decided that I was going to either take a chance and hike back and try to find a road, or I was going to stay there the night. Done that. It's really neat to stay at night out there on that warm Red Rock. This is the desert southwest of the United States for my friends in Europe. It's a very sacred area. We're not supposed to build homes there. We're not supposed to live there. We are supposed to visit this very sacred part of planet Earth. It's the only sacred area in the United States. Did you know that? That's it. There isn't. That's it. That's the sacred heart of the United States, Sedona, Arizona. There is not another one. Anyone that tells you so, like Mount Shasta, bullshit. I climbed Mount Shasta. Now, I was on top of Mount Shasta, more than once, and I've tried to find my spirituality there. I've done, peyote way up there, the whole thing. And I can tell you, there isn't anything like Sedona. I've been all over the world. Sedona is a unique spiritual center, and it is the spiritual center of North America. Now, we have something in South America, and I'm not going to discuss that. There's another spiritual center there. But in North America, that's it. And you're not supposed to be desecrating the sacred site by building golf courses there, which is what the old fucks have done. They've destroyed. They turned it into a giant resort. We can go golfing, and you can stay in a Holiday Inn, and you can have a $10 cup of coffee at the local coffee shop, Starbucks. It's just disgusting. McDonald's, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're bringing commodity into that area.
Yeah, it's been destroyed and defiled, and the midware has left Sedona. It's no longer there. I was there because it was waiting. Not for me. It had a job to do, and I had a job to do. What happened to me there was I never expected this. So I'm up there on this Red Rock, and the sun is going down, and I can't believe, I get this feeling like something's watching me, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, UFO, oh no. You know, you get this feeling of dread, like, oh no. You know, you're powerless because you can't, something spiritual has its eye on you, and it's, you know, you're there, and you're really helpless. And you get that feeling of helplessness. And I always enjoy that because I love being scared. I like being thrilled like that. So it's really a good feeling for me. Personally, I like it, but... in that case, it was a bit too much because it was getting stronger and stronger. And next thing, why? The hair on the back of my neck started standing up as if I was going to be hit with lightning. And I started feeling nauseous, and it was very uncomfortable, and it felt like there was pressure, like a low-pressure system had been... If you've ever been in a plane and you're changing pressure... cabin pressure. You're experiencing that. You'll get this pressure. You'll feel sometimes your sinuses, or you feel it in your ears, and you have to chew some gum or something to open up your eustachian tube so that the pressure is equalized between your ears and the inside of your body and wherever. The thing about this is that I felt that same kind of pressure, and it felt like I was trapped. I can't describe it other than just feeling of being trapped, like I was heavy.
Like you were put in a big glass jar?
Well, not quite like that. I knew I could get away, but yeah, I know. That was next. Who knows? I didn't know what I was thinking. I just thought this was a bit too much.
You were put in a big jar over your bunk, and you were in a vacuum.
Yeah, and the sun was going down. It was spooky, to say the very least. And it was electric, as I thought, you know, this doesn't feel good. You know, it feels like I'm being, you know, this is electric, whatever this is. It's like something electric was entering me, but from the back of my head. And the thing about this is I got one glimpse of it.
Ooh.
Yes. And it was absolutely huge. And it was exactly the thing that I had seen, but I knew it was different. It was a midware. This thing looked like an elephant without legs. Only it looked like it was huge, and it had a trunk that had extended all the way out and hooked around the back of my head. You know, there's a thing, you have eyes on the back of your head. I found it to be very interesting. This thing was actually connected to me through the back of my head for some reason. And it had no eyes. It had no distinguishing features other than this trunk and this very large draping kind of amorphous body. And it felt electric. And yes, for me, I'm going to describe it as perhaps opaque, but not really. Let's remember, it was dark at that time. The sun is going down. And this huge electric thing was attached to the back of my head, and it was in my mind. So it was not comfortable. But as soon as I made contact with this thing, I became comfortable. It was okay. This had to happen. The rest of it, I cannot publicly disclose. Now, the midware is now gone. It's not there anymore because it's no longer a sacred site. The Indians say, and have been saying, the Indians are spiritual. They know about this. They don't take it for granted either. They say that anyone who moves there and lives in Sedona is cursed. And I agree with the Indians. Because now we have human beings living there, old folks who have retirement communities, people like the Gulf, are living there. There's no midware there. There is the actual curse. Their only hope for a spiritual answer is left them. That is a spiritual center of the United States, and it's gone. The United States right now does not have a spiritual center, and it does not have a midware. It's gone. America, you are doomed. You are so doomed. United States of America, you are forever lost and banished from the future. You are doomed beyond doomed.
Is Europe a place where a midware would reside?
I can't say where the two midwares are.
Okay.
But look, there's something happening in South America.
Right.
Okay, that's another matter.
All right. Oh, and someone wanted to know, one of the listeners was wondering, was that in Del Rock in Sedona?
No. In fact, it isn't. And if you go there to Del Rock, you're talking, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about a phenomenon there. It's a cyclonic, it's an electrical magnetic phenomenon there, like a vortex. I've explored a number of these, what people refer to as a vortex, and it's just bullshit. It's some vortex there.
Okay. Yeah. I can see the sun on the back of your head. It's really cool to be able to see you and talk at the same time.
Yeah, finally, a lot of people can see the voice behind this thing. All right. Now,
You wanted to cover the soulless clones?
The soul, yes, everybody wants to talk about that. Yes, I wrote viewed the first successful human clone, and I found not one but many. And no, they're not from the United States. The United States is resisting cloning, and the United States is resisting a lot of this research due to ethical, Christian ethics. The United States will never catch up with this race to clone, and because of it, it's one of the financial burdens that you're going to be dealing with as an American. If you're listening to this, you've got some serious financial burden coming up because your country, the United States, is choosing Jesus over the inevitable future of cloning, human cloning. It's going to happen whether you can. There's nothing you can do to stop humans from perfecting their bodies. Right now we live in an age of miracles. Ask yourself, how old do you want to live? We have technology like telomerase, which will cap your DNA so it doesn't fray as much, during replication. You got 60 cycles, you fall apart. We have technology like this, and we have human cloning. We have incredible technologies to regenerate the body from head to toe. Ironically, at the same time, our planet's dying. So if you got a perfect body and you have no environment, you know, the subject is moot. There's really no point. But the irony is here anyway. You know, there's always irony in life.
Yeah,
so this situation with human cloning won't be stopped. And my first contact with the clone was quite a shock because I wondered what we all wonder. Do they express the soul? And the answer is no. They don't. It's not, and they don't appear any different than you or I, those of us who express the soul via the spirit. The spirit, you can think of as the electromagnetic field or the glue holding the soul to the body by which we express the soul through our daily thoughts and actions and so on. But this situation with the clone is that, look, we all share one soul. But there's a paradoxical relationship that we have with the soul. We cannot have many, many bodies that are identical sharing the same soul. What you can do, but that doesn't mean that you're lost. What I find fascinating is if the source that is expressing the soul dies, what then happens to the clone? It doesn't have a soul. Nothing. Do they share the soul? No. It's as if they were never born. The clone does not express the soul. And I believe it's because we don't know enough about cloning. We don't know about enough in science. We don't know how to express the soul because we've ignored ourselves spiritually for so long. We have forgotten our spiritual essence. This is missing in our scientific work. And so the very first successful clones are actually the most unsuccessful because we were unsuccessful at expressing the soul. So essentially they're soulless people who don't appear any different than we are. The other thing that I found about the clone is that I'm able to compare the shells of being that I see around the world to the clone itself. They're very similar. On a number of occasions, I've met soulless people. It doesn't mean that they're bad. They've usually experienced things like child molestation. Traumatic situations can often prevent you from expressing the soul. And by the way, don't think that your DNA is static. It changes throughout your life. You can alter your body from head to toe. You can alter your DNA. Scientific fact. So, you can alter your DNA in such a way that you no longer express the soul. If you're manipulated as a child at a very, very impressionable age, if you're molested, then you risk the danger of losing your soul. I have never seen a person gain the soul back. Not once. There have been attempts. They've all been unsuccessful. So this adds one more dimension to the heinous crime of child molestation.
Wow.
You're not only destroying that child, you're taking its soul.
Wow.
And so the clones are people who don't know they don't have a soul. They can't know that. They're too far removed from this.
So there could be people out there that don't have a soul even though they're not clones.
I've met people without souls, and I've interviewed them, and I've asked them, you know, what do you think about this? How does this make you different from the rest of us? What's going on here? And there's very little that they can really discern about. There's very little that they can compare. You know, their life experiences are similar to ours. They're not evil. In fact, Hitler had a soul. I know because I've looked at Hitler. Hitler did express the soul. People say he was soulless. That's incorrect. He had a soul. So the soul has nothing to do with evil or good, right or wrong, left or right. That's immaterial to the soul. Soul is expressed in a mysterious way. It's a sacred thing. And cloning will not, remember, I remote viewed the first and most successful clone, and I got two people. They appear to be twins, and they're Asian.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So they're not Caucasian. We do know that, and I also know what country they're from. I'm not going to discuss that, because I want to protect them, because we need cloning. I'm pro-cloning. I believe that cloning is essential, and eventually we're going to understand more about the human spirit and the human soul, and we'll be able to clone people with the right technology so that they can express the soul. And I know that that's coming, but the first successful clones are soulless. That's a big error, but physically they're healthy.
Is there a way for the people that hear this broadcast for them to figure out if they have a soul or not?
Yes, there is a way. That's another show. There's a way. You can literally remote view it. I'll give you a target. And there's a way to look at a person to find out if they have a soul or not. Generally, I know as a psychic and a spiritual person, I'm aware. I can pick a soulless person out in a crowd of people a mile away. I can feel it. If you're in a room with me and you don't have a soul, I can feel it. I know it.
I've often wondered about that, because I've run into people literally, and normally I have a good perception of who's around me. And if I run into somebody, it's because I couldn't feel them.
Yes. The interesting thing is, you can lose your soul slowly. You can over time destroy yourself. I remember when I first met Ed Gaines. It was pretty darn cool. This guy really kind of had it together. I'll tell you about the time Courtney Brown, Dr. Brown. We, as I promised, we're going to talk about the relationship, the way the mass psyche is manipulated. We're going to talk about Courtney Brown and Flight 800 years ago. But I want to talk about, during that time, Ed Gaines was actually on to something. He was expressing the soul. He had a light about him. He changed. He has changed considerably. Now he's barely recognizable. He's become decrepit. He's very physically decrepit. He's literally falling apart. He's looking very old, and he's lost his height, I would say. He was short to begin with. Now he's like, he's pretty darn short. Is he somewhere on 4'9", Jennifer? Maybe 4'3". He's down there.
Yeah. I can vouch for it. He's short.
Put your hand on his forehead. I know he can't hit you.
I'm at least one head taller than he is.
Yeah, and I'm 5'7". So that's I'm not a super tall guy with shoes. I'm 5'8". When he's around me, he's a head below. He's like looking at my nipples, thinking, I don't know what he's thinking. But I can tell you what. Ed Gaines has slowly stopped expressing the soul. Ed Gaines now, I would dare say that Ed Gaines right now is soulless.
Wow.
He's lost it. So you can lose your soul throughout your life if you do the wrong thing.
Right. A lot of old people are soulless.
Yes, they are. They no longer express
the soul. One indication is like how you feel about the planet. You know, when you're talking to someone and they don't care about the planet and you talk about it and they don't kind of feel that sadness, it's like that right there says to me, that's a soulless person. That's somebody who doesn't care.
That's correct. If someone isn't connected with the earth, that's usually a really good sign. If they're not aware of their environment, if they seem to be a zombie and have no clue about what's going on, like they have really bad timing or they have... The person without the soul is easily inhabited by angelic possession. Right? The angel can possess a body without a soul. If you're expressing the soul, you cannot be possessed by angels. That's a fact.
Wow.
So we have a lot of people on this planet who are without soul. President Bush is soulless.
So that's why some people are more susceptible to angelic possession. Because
yes.
They don't have a soul.
And
that's correct. You can't. If you have a soul, you cannot be possessed by an angel.
And they are not connected to the earth, which is why they are like, so what if they cut down trees and bulldoze and, you know, spew fossil fuels into the atmosphere? I mean, they just don't see the difference.
No, that's correct. And this is a real sign that somebody doesn't have a soul. Yeah, they're souls.
Is cloning that you saw in the future, I know it's probably not going to be that far away, but are they going to use cloning for, harvesting organs? I mean, we can recreate organs.
Well, of course. I believe that the clone is an excellent way, and you're not going to lose your soul by harvesting an organ from a clone, by the way. You're actually going to gain your soul because you're going to be healthier. You're going to be happier. You're going to be stronger. If you have a problem with the liver and you need another liver, yes, you need to have one harvested. This is ethical and good. And we are going to do it. In America, if you don't do it, someone else will. And there's nothing you can do about it, I know, because I've remote viewed it. Yes, we harvest organs. Yes, there's a country that is going full force with this right now, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. And the UN will fail if it stands up against human cloning. The UN will fail. Because this is going to be a big issue in the very near future. And if you're with it, you'll be successful. If you're against human cloning, you're going to die. You're over. You're going to be left for dead and forgotten. Who cares about you? That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm for human cloning. I'm 100% for it. Let's harvest those organs. Let's rebuild our bodies. It's a wonderful new day for us.
Right. Yeah, you know, it was interesting that when Jim mentioned that about the old people, there was a story I saw in the local paper about this woman who helps the elderly, and the woman was, she's probably about in her late 40s, early 50s, but there's an old lady in this bed who looked like a mummy, and I thought this was going to be an archaeology story when I saw the picture, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what the hell? And it was a story about her, and I'm like, she's probably not even cognizant of things going on around her, you know, which is, you know, she was a poster child for euthanasia.
I can remember, a lot of old people lose their ability to transmit the soul because they have so much brain cell death. And you need at least 10 billion neurons firing simultaneously to express the soul. And so that has to happen on a continuous basis. You have to be at that level of brain functioning. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to express the soul completely. Yeah. So, and that happens in third trimester, by the way. The soul actually is expressed in third trimester, but before that, it's a thing, something to be harvested. It's not a human life.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. To me, someone living today without a soul, like Ed DeHinz, that's a thing. You know, that's someone to be harvested. It's not even a human being to me.
Oh.
I don't take people like that seriously because they don't have a soul.
Yeah.
They're not human. If you don't have a soul, you're just there as like cattle. You're just cattle. You're nothing more than cattle. Mm. You're to be harvested.
The soul is about connecting with the earth because the earth is a soul generator.
Right.
So you come from the earth. You will have a connection to the earth. And the soul is expressed by being with each other, communicating it to another person. So we're connected to each other. And, you know, you have these people who are just, like, disconnected. They just, they're of almost of a different complete mind frame. And I can't figure them out. And for years I used to go, what's wrong with them? I can't figure them out.
Well, when you take my attitude, things change. It becomes comical because they're, to me, they're like things. They're like automobiles. So like, you know, pencils and
you
stuff.
You can poke them. And they don't react. It's funny.
I have a good attitude about the whole thing. If you don't have a soul, you're not even a human being to me.
Right.
You're a thing. You're an it.
You know, I was going to ask you, you're probably not going to, let me ask you anyway. There was a listener who asked me about the clones. Is there a way to do a brain transplant into one of the clones if your body's failing?
No.
Okay, good.
No, this is not the technology. No,
okay,
no.
Moving right along.
By the way, I met a scientist back in my college days. I met someone in the 60s, early 60s, when he had some license to do this. Well, basically, people looked the other way. Look, these people in the early 60s were crazy in science. They could do all kinds of stuff. He was transferring monkey heads, and he had some success doing this, but, you know, our technology was limited. I actually met the very neurosurgeon who was involved with this work, and he didn't have any ethical problems with it. He was hoping eventually to be allowed to do this experimentation with human beings. I found this guy refreshing. He was very upset that this research had ended because of ethical problems, and I'm with him. I say he should have gone all the way with it. See what we get down the road. You know, So long as you pick people who don't have a soul, who cares?
Right.
Let's do head transplants. I don't care. You know?
Is this possible to transfer the soul from, like, one person to the next?
No. Okay. And I've spoken about a situation that we all share one soul. Yeah, and there's something else going on, and I've referred to this lodge master within the OTO who wanted himself back, and something else had inhabited his body. He was involved with experimenting with his soul and spirit, and something had gone horribly wrong, and he lost everything. And then something entered his body, and actually alike the entity that was in his body. It made him very, very interesting, but he was lost in the astral somewhere. And I found him at the Monroe Institute. One of the students at the TMI had bolted out of his bed. I told this story before on the previous show, but he had bolted out of his bed, and he didn't know anything about me or my history, but he had mentioned this fellow's name. By the name of David Jones. He was shouting it to me. He actually was very much frightened by this and told me that David Jones said, Aaron, you're the only one that can help him get his body back. This is years after the incident, after the failure of David Jones to complete his mission. His experiment had failed. And yes, you can lose your soul by experimenting with your soul and spirit. And he wants his body back. I don't really know how to help him. He claims that I'm the only one on earth that can help him get his body back. And I've met Mr. Jones. I've spoken with the thing in him. It's no longer Mr. Jones. And I kind of like the thing in him.
Now, when you say thing, is it like not another human being?
It's not a human being. This is correct. And you can talk to it. It uses the nervous system to communicate with you.
But the occult has been working on soul transference for a long time, haven't they?
Yes, but you see what many people within witchcraft and many occult circles, what they don't understand is that we only share one soul. We know very little about the soul, but what I know about it is that we all share it. There's only one soul, and that's the direction of the soul. You can lose your soul slowly or quickly. But you see, you don't own it.
But if
we all share one soul.
If you take DNA, let's say, from a mummy that, you know, thousands of years ago lived,
no,
mummified,
the answer's no.
You can't bring them back?
That's just what you're talking about. If you're talking about their soul, will they share it? No.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
So they can't return back to their body. You could recreate their bodies.
Yes, they can have a body and spirit, but they cannot...
They wouldn't inhabit, the soul wouldn't inhabit it.
Yes, because of the technology that we have. Cloning technology, we're in the beginning stages of this. This is what I'm saying. We don't know enough about expressing the soul. We're missing something in science. But we eventually get it fixed. Right now, won't work. Now, I can tell you that Lucifer knows how to do this. But there, you know, that technology, that alien technology, is so advanced. We're not there yet, and we can't even solve our world ecological collapse problem. We're not smart enough to do that. So we're to develop the science and technology to express the soul. No, we're nowhere near that. That's what I mean when I say that the clones don't have souls, because we have failed in our science to express the soul. We're not smart enough to fix this problem.
So that was quite
a shock for me. Those are the first successful human clones. And yeah, it's going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. And it's good. It's good. It's not a bad thing. There's all kinds of soulless people on the planet. These people are important soulless people because they're like cattle.
We won't have time to fix that problem, meaning when things start to fall apart in the future because of ecological disasters, what we're doing to our planet, we're killing it, we won't be able to genetically alter our bodies to survive it fast enough, and we won't be able to do it and then be able to have a soul doing it. We're going to lose our soul.
You can lose your soul, yeah. We're in danger of losing our soul, that's correct.
Well, if how does the soul get attached to the body then if you're just creating bodies with phoning.
Just excuse me for a minute. I'm going to get this light out of my eyes. It's bugging the hell out of me.
It's really bright.
Yeah, I know. It's like I'm glowing here. I'm also on fire. It's been hot.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I have these windows. There's a Victorian house, and these windows are
coated
glass, and they're heating me up. Huh?
You want to take a quick break?
Yeah, let's go on a break.
Okay.
But that's a good question. I want to answer that question.
All right, great. Well, we'll go ahead and take a break then. All right, everybody, stand by. We'll be back. You listen to Radio Heron, Voice of Lucifer. Okay, and we're back. Yay. All right, and coming back to the topic we left off on, about being soulless.
What a bummer. What a way to leave the show.
I know.
Last segment of the show. Oh, by the way, you're going to lose your soul, and we're not smart enough to fix this problem. So you better contact him. Jennifer, what are your comments on that?
Well, it's just so, shocking because this is kind of a revelation for me at this moment because you've always talked about how we're not smart enough to fix our situation in the future, that we're going to lose our soul. And I always assumed, that it was because of us going down, our planet's ecosystem and people just die, which is the case, but they also transfer into a cyborg-type technology and try to preserve themselves. But
your soul's gone. Cyborgs do not have soul.
Right. Your soul is gone. We lose our soul, and it just sounded I've always kind of known that, but to hear you say that was just chilling. We're going to lose our soul.
Yes, all of us.
That's what you mean. We are not smart enough to fix it. We can't fix a soul to even a cloned body or to a matrix, none of that.
That's why this is so sad and so dreadful, and the feeling that we're all feeling is that this thing could cataclysmically collapse.
If
Earth dies anymore, you're going to feel it. You're going to miss your soul when it's gone.
It's what makes it beautiful. The soul is absolutely beautiful.
That's correct.
And to lose that is there's no point in living.
There's no sadness. You can't achieve a greater sadness in life than knowing this. And this is a collective sadness. And people are feeling it all over the earth. They know that the soul is in jeopardy. And we're about to lose it because we've destroyed the generation of our soul. We're destroying the earth. We all share one soul, and it can die. The soul is not eternal. And so we are in trouble, and you're right. We're not smart enough to fix this problem that we created. There's something far worse than extinction. It's living here and knowing that you've lost your soul. When I open your eyes up spiritually, you have to wonder, imagine what would happen to a clone if I were to sit down with a clone and teach them to remote view the existence of their own soul. And they found that they're soulless and there's nothing they could do to gain it back because there's some genetic flaw, there's something missing in the technology that created them. That would be a living nightmare. And one of the reasons why I am considered to be the most controversial of remote viewers, of people who are speaking about spirituality, is that I'm defining a problem that you can't escape. With suicide will not be a way that you can escape from this problem. Because you see there are people left behind, the guardians, who are supposed to maintain this garden. We were to reach 10 billion people. And we did not reach that nexus. Our only hope is to reintegrate the cellular information that we have into humans on a healthy earth earlier on, after the end of the crustacean period. The old stories of the Nephilim and the old stories of the giants, the angels that mated with the daughters of men to produce larger children who were psychic. They had a third eye, thus the story of the Cyclops, or the story of David hitting Goliath in the third eye, take him down. The Christian church doesn't want you to feel good about having a third eye or having a psychic ability. So these stories were created to attack us and our lineage. We were here before. We're here at the very end. Once again, we almost made it to that nexus. We didn't make it this time. So I'm telling you again, You're losing your soul. And how sad that is. I'll tell you, one of the things that inspired someone to commit suicide, one of my students, of course, was the dying earth. She never got over it. I made the mistake of queuing in those early days. I felt that hell, anyone can handle this stuff. You know, they can handle the truth. I'll tell you right now, there's some things that I'm holding back. I'm holding back a lot from you. Those of you who come to my show, I'm holding back a great deal, the truth, because I know you can't handle it. I know from experience. I showed this person our ecosystem, our planet, and she saw too much and couldn't handle it. And so she left us. She could not live with the pain of knowing she was going to lose her soul. I'm saying, fight. I'm saying, do something. Wake up. Do something now. And our only hope is contact. If you don't make contact, all of us, we all lose our souls. We could fail at this. There's not we have very little chance of actually being successful, but this is our only chance. And I'm starting out here with very little support. In fact, you know, in the beginning, no support. Now I have a lot of support from people who also understand the hardship of being on the spiritual path. We don't have support from our family members. We don't have support from people around us, as we should, concerning this very serious issue. For example, the attack in public media of what I'm doing. I was the first person to talk about contact as per evocation. I've been doing this for many, many years. All of a sudden you see Johnny Come Lately, he's coming on media saying, yeah, I can call down the UFOs, look at this. It's an assault upon us. We're a little more serious than that. It's not a circus sideshow to be aired on television. You'll never see me go to ABC and point out a UFO in the sky. You'll never see that. You'd be lucky to see me do it in South America before the public eye. It's a private thing for those of our own kind. And it's a real thing. It's not hocus pocus. And it's a thing that involves contact, where you're going to have an alien craft. I'm not kidding. An alien craft is going to come within a close proximity of us. We have some questions. That's our work, and it's our only hope on a dying planet. And a planet of zombies, a planet of people who are easily inhabited, empty shells of beings who are easily inhabited by angels. I've yet to meet a Christian with a soul. I have not met a single Christian with a soul. Not one.
Because they've given their soul up?
That's right. You know when you're on your knees and you say, Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I give myself to you. I give my heart to you. They open up their anahata, their heart chakra. They accept the angel that is pretending to be God, to be Yahweh, to be Jesus. They're opening up their heart chakra, and they're willingly giving themselves to Jesus, this entity that they can't see, they don't know anything about. They're allowing this thing to possess their body because they're evoking it, and they're begging on their knees, begging this thing in submission to enter their heart chakra. Jesus, will you save me from my sins? They're at Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, enter my body. Take over my life. This is what these people do, on their knees, begging the angel to enter their body. You know what happens? You're giving up your soul in submission to an angel, and you're asking the angel to take over your body where the soul was. When you're a Christian, just to be a Christian, you jeopardize your soul. To ask Jesus to enter your heart means that you're willingly giving up your soul for Christ. This is why I'm so angered at the Christians. They're so spiritually dumb. They know not what they do. How can can they not know this? It astounds me to see this happen. We send our children into catechism, or we send our children to a Christian church where they're forced socially. They are forced to conform to the process, to the ritual of giving up their souls and to allow the angel to enter their body. The angel that's pretending and masquerading itself as Jesus.
My question for you, though. What about those that are deconverted? Can you get the soul back?
Yes, you can. However, if you haven't lost all of it, that's the key. Like I said, if you have lost your soul, I have yet to find a single person who has been able to get it back. Now, a lot of you'd be surprised how many people know on some level that they're doing something wrong. They know on some level, even though they're getting the endorphin high from this religion, because it's designed, they're using words and imagery and symbols to stimulate the God spot in the brain and to stimulate endorphin release. It's like having sex. You can get addicted to being saved, by the way. People do. Because it gives you a good feeling. It's a physiological feeling that you, it's a matter of brain chemistry that the Christians use to validate the spiritual experience. When in fact it's just a matter of endorphin. So you're getting an endorphin rush. Whether you're having sex or running, you can get the same endorphin rush, something similar. The imagery and ritual and symbolism, even song, can create the right brain chemistry to release endorphins. And we've had thousands of years develop these religious rituals in order to do just that. It's a matter of deception, spiritual deception. What's happening to you is something you can't feel. You can't feel your soul being lost. You can't feel the way your spirit's being manipulated. It's always outside of your awareness. Unless, of course, you learn how to become aware of this. And that's something that the churches don't want to teach you. They don't want you to know how to become aware of it. In fact, they tell you, don't you dare question the authority of God. If so, you're a heretic. So if you have some remnant of your soul left, then and only then can you regain it. In my experience, I've only seen those with a remnant regain the soul. The light of the soul is expressed. Once again, they've left the Christian church. A lot of these people who are on their knees begging Jesus to enter their body, you know, all this stuff, they don't really believe it. They get the endorphin high. They don't really feel different because they didn't accept it completely. Those people are ironically saved because they have saved their soul by not giving it up. They're the backslidden Christian. They're the ones who simply can't commit themselves to this because they have some questions. They have some real good questions about your soul. For those fools who blindly let this unseen spirit force enter their heart chakra and to give up their soul for that, you are lost, forever lost, never to regain your soul. It's a test and you have failed.
Okay.
You're going to know near the final hour what you've done. Judgment Day is coming. And you're going to know what you've done to your environment and to yourself. No one, not even in death, will escape the judgment. And that's coming for you, all of us. I'll be in the midst of all of this. If we fail, we all have to suffer the consequences. That's the hell of this thing. You know, that's where I am in this. This is the only chance we have, and you know, we're gaining support. The total number of affiliates, it's very difficult to determine here, because so many people are bringing. The idea is, if you have a website and you're unknown, a lot of people are linking up to my website, and they're using this link in order to gain people into the website. I don't care. You can steal from me. Go ahead. You're not really stealing it. So long as the word gets out, it's free. And believe me, this is so controversial and so mind-blowing. Every show will be a step up from the previous. You can expect that every Sunday. I'll be here. Blow your minds every Sunday. There's a lot more to talk about. I'm holding back a lot of stuff. fact, Steve, I was telling you about the Courtney Brown issue, and boy, that's a hot one. You know, with the David Koresh and the Jim Jones issue, and also the Temple Solar issue.
Yes.
I know what really happened there. I know the truth behind all of this, and it's all linked.
Yeah, it was very fascinating, actually. before I forget, the one listener wanted to know about Atlantis. I was wondering if you could elaborate on Atlantis.
Yes, Atlantis, by all accounts, is most likely, and I believe this to be true, Ireland. Ireland fits the category. An aspect of Ireland, which was once inhabited, did fall into the ocean. What Plato was describing as Atlantis is right in front of us all along. You know, Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is the one that's usually right. This applies here. We've been looking for Atlantis as if the whole continent was underneath the water. And it was in front of us all along. It's called Ireland. Atlantis essentially is Ireland today. It meets all of the criteria, except for one that I'm a bit concerned about, which is the existence of the mastodon or of elephants or of elephant bones. I do believe that before the continental drift that we did in fact have mastodon and other creatures like that in the area. But I have not determined that yet. I wouldn't be surprised if there are archaeological remains of the mastodon in Ireland. I wouldn't be surprised, by the way. They're all over Europe, all over America, North America. So the mastodon is something that I think you might find there. But that's the last thing on the list, on Plato's list. And of course, the other question, is Plato the alter ego of another author? We don't even know if Plato existed. So, you know, how accurate is this? The Atlantis, for all intents and purposes, Atlantis, you know, I'm 99.9% sure that it's Ireland.
Wow. Have you been able to view any of the stuff that they found, like the Bimini Road off of Florida or the city off of Japan?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've looked at all that stuff. In fact, while I was in Japan, I was asked to remote view the supposed structures, sunken structures off the coast of Japan. And indeed, there are some archaeological remains there. These are structures that were made by humans, something like that.
Because it's fascinating that they found all, you know, out of the blue. You know, where did this city come from, being so far underwater?
Yeah, I know. And a lot of people are saying that the Earth went and it just automatically tilted and everything sunk, and or perhaps these things were that low, and who knows? That there was a grand shifting of the Earth's crust due to the polar shifting. What a bunch of malarkey. It's a bunch of garbage. It takes up to 7,000 years to experience polar shifting. In geologic time, that's a very short order of time. In geologic time, that's a miracle, right? To go through serious pole shifting. Pole shifting happens in pockets, where you might have some areas of the Earth where you have electromagnetic instability. And it's sort of like the ozone layer. You've never seen bubbles kind of reach a point of critical mass in your bathtub where there's sort of all of a sudden a cold blast of air will break them up, and exponentially they'll begin to break up in waves and patterns.
Yes.
To a great degree. Well, we're reaching that point in the ozone layer where you have holes opening up all over the place, and then they close up, and then they open up again, and they open up in different areas, and all of this stress is reaching critical mass. And right now, we had an ozone problem, ozone layer problem. It's unlike we've ever had before. Of course, that's no longer being reported, but this is what I'm talking about with over a period of 7,000 years or so, 4,000 to 7,000 years. And we're in the beginning stages of, a 4,000 to 7,000 year cycle of electromagnetic changes on the planet, pole shifting. So the last time we had a pole shift, it took about 7,000 to 6,000 years to shift. You know, it's a fact we did shift. And, but we're in the process of that cycle again. So I don't think you're going to wake up tomorrow, you know, not being able to stand up because the Earth's shifting. People who say that, like Ed Dames, they don't know their science.
Well, I do.
I
was just thinking maybe it's a combination of pole shifting, a kill shot, and Planet X.
All of these things are excuses for people to do nothing about the impending problem of our ecosystem.
Right.
And we need to not look for excuses, but we need to look for solutions. Now, I would love it if the human race could simply wake up and stop burning fossil fuels and buy time and assist me in context. We can get technology from these aliens. We know aliens exist. We know that beyond this hocus-pocus, this fake thing that was pulled on people, a prank, if you will, on Coast to Coast and on ABC News with Mr. Yowie, we know that that stuff is baloney. But there's something that's real, and many people have seen it. And as Jennifer has brilliantly described, that quality of light is there. You know that this is a technology that is advanced, something we don't have. And there's a very distinct spiritual feeling about it. That when you look at this video of Mr. Yowie, you know that's not real. You have a question about it. You have no question about a real UFO sighting. No question at all. And you never forget it, either, ever. I have never forgotten any of the sightings I've had. And I've had many of them. Now, this situation with the soul, we need to remedy this. I've been talking about the seriousness of for years of this, many, many years. And there's so many things that I have to break to all of you slowly. I don't want you to get depressed and think that everything is hopeless, because it appears so, especially for me. You know, look what I'm facing. I'm everywhere I turn, I'm being stabbed in the back. It doesn't bother me. It really, what bothers me is watching the Earth die and realizing that you have many of the other psychics and many of the other remote viewers, if you can call them that, are pointing to excuses. They're not really concerned about the problem or looking for solutions. I'm giving you solutions here. I see a worldwide movement, a spiritual movement with the Luciferian order, that will take over all of the other religions. The four great religions are going to fall because they're going to be challenged by something. They're going to be challenged by this. And this is nothing compared to the challenges that we have in the future concerning the Luciferian order. We're going to be challenged in many ways. I'm ready for every one of them. This is a joke. This Yowie thing, joke.
Yeah. It seems like an intentional disinformation campaign.
Yep, it is, and it wasn't really very clever, but I'm certain that there will be some more events in the future which are very clever, but I'll debunk them all.
Yeah.
If they get in our way.
Man, we could spend so much time on just so many things. It's just amazing.
Oh, yes, and next week we're going to talk about the very, very strange connection between the Jim Jones incident, the CIA, and, of course, the situation with the Temple Solar, these people who were executed.
Yeah.
State-sanctioned executions. When you see a... Look, I'm not going to say too much about myself, but let me put it this way. There are certain people on this planet who recognize certain postures, who recognize certain ways bodies are laid out. There's a professional and state-sanctioned way to kill someone and to display the body. It's a signal. It's a message. It's a flag. When you look at certain cases concerning the Hale-Bopp cult here in America and the Temple Solar situation, the David Koresh thing was a mess, but it was effective, highly effective in its own way. We'll explain that next week. I'm going to show you the connection, the very strange connection. I know I promised this time, but running out of time. We'll talk about that next week. We got the clone thing this time instead, and everyone was waiting for that, so we got that. But we're going to really spook you next week with the way your mind is being manipulated through popular media sources and how effective the Temple Solar incident, where all these people were killed, they were executed. When you see a body laying down, hands tied behind the back, face down, purple sash over the back, or any sash over the head, when you see that and their bodies, before rigor mortis is set in, their bodies are straightened. They have a certain posture. Signal.
Oh, and the nice shoes, too.
Yeah, it's always the shoes.
Always the shoes.
It's always the shoes, you know. That's funny. But you know what? That's an inside joke, by the way. So the whole business with Courtney Brown, I'll go into a little bit of that, and then we're going to end the show.
Okay.
This is going to get you all. I'm spending time with a two-horned priest on Hoda Villa, as I mentioned during this show. And I was being taught Hopi language, culture. I was being challenged concerning the missing Fire Clan tablet piece. I located it, this piece. I described what it meant, what it was for. And I'm psychic, you know? I'm not a special guy. I'm just I can get information like this quickly. And so I was learning as much as I could about this fascinating, very old culture of people. And believe me, there's some stuff about the Hopi. It's amazing, spiritually. And they're right-brainers, and they're just amazing people. It's one of the last surviving matriarchal societies here. You still have a matriarchal society in New Guinea, but that's dying quickly. Anyway, I'm there, and during the time that I'm there, Courtney Brown, right, had been trained by Ed Dames to learn up to stage 3. That's all. There's nothing more than that. He didn't know any more than that. He's a transcendental meditationalist. He's one of these people that's into Eastern mystical, transcendental meditation and all that sort of thing. And I'm into it too, but not to the extent that Dr. Brown is of Emory University. I believe he still he's a chair professor there of statistics at Emory. And he had he'd learned remote viewing as soon as Ed got out of the military. And he learned it to stage 3 and then declared himself a guru of remote viewing. I don't want to say that about Courtney Brown. I don't think he really did that, actually. I think that people assumed that he was an expert at remote viewing, and in fact he was not at that time. He was just simply a successful remote viewer. And that was it. There are many of us, in those days. So because of his influence, he really took the ball and ran with it. Because of his lack of experience, because of his lack of expertise, Dr. Brown didn't even know how much experience he lacked. He didn't even know what he lacked in terms of higher stages of remote viewing, and there are 8 of them. And I have mastered all 8 stages of remote viewing. Mastered them.
Wow.
You don't break a rule until you learn it. You gotta learn it first. Dr. Brown had only learned, peripherally, stage 3. So he took this information. I believe he knew a little bit about a stage 4. And that's about as far as he went. Maybe a little bit about a stage 6. That's about it. He took it to stage 3 and he started training people. And he took his team of remote viewers to look at and solve the problem of the downed Flight 800. Now, as I had mentioned in a previous show, during Flight 800, which is an airline that had been fallen because of mechanical failure, everyone on board died. This is closer to New York than it is Los Angeles. It's on the other side of the country. This airliner would fly in this region. And this thing, closer to New York, fell out of the sky into the water. Now, I happened to be out of my body at the time, traveling through the astral. And I spent my time that night, that very time, I spent on board helping 11-year-old girl who was going in and out of consciousness. She was about to die. I was assisting her process of transition. I just felt that this child had no comforting, and so I comforted her in her final moment, in her final moment before death. No one else was. Now, she needed comforting, and I comforted her when she lost consciousness. I was there in the astral to tell her it was okay to be with her. I followed her all the way down into the dark waters below. And when she lost her life, I assisted her into the light. This is something I'm very good at. And I was there at that time. And the thing about this is that when Courtney Brown's team remote viewed that incident, they got me on the flight. And they their imagination put me on the ground as well. In reality, I was on the ground with the Hopi, shooting this flight down with a Stinger. Now, Stinger, this is outside of the range of a Stinger. You'd have to arc this thing. Because you see the Earth's gravitational field, and these weapons are limited. So the Stinger idea was just bogus. But they had this idea formulated, their team of remote viewers. And they went public with this. They went on television. They went on the Art Bell show. they had millions of listeners, and they described, essentially, they described me with a stinger shooting down Flight 800. And here I am on the Hopi Reservation. I'm listening to an Art Bell show. I'm listening to Courtney Brown describe a man who's dressed in military clothing and dressed in black military clothing, who's right now, and you can listen to the archives and listen to the show and you put it together and go, oh my God, that's Aaron. They're describing me as olive skin, as being with the Indians in the southwestern part of the United States. I was the only white guy there. And a lot of people, when they look at me, they describe me out of the body as an olive-skinned man. So many people have said that. I've looked at myself, and yeah, I'm an olive-skinned man when you look at me out of the body. It's really weird. So here I am, being described as an olive-skinned man wearing black military clothing, who's trained by the military. They describe me as being capable of healing, highly intelligent, and extremely deadly. And they describe me that physically right now, he is in the desert southwest with the Indians. That was me. Okay, following night, this is when Ed Dames was pretty cool. He was on to something spiritually. When Ed was still expressing the soul, he wasn't drinking like he is now. He was, back then, he was, you know, sober and really, he was, you know, he was doing really good. On the very next night, he gets on the radio and debunks Dr. Brown on the Art Bell show and says, no, this guy is not an expert. And no, he's completely wrong about Flight 800. That this person in the desert, this is completely wrong. Ed saved my ass during that time. Probably didn't even know it. But I was feeling uncomfortable because, you see, Dr. Brown called for, you know, let's go get this guy. You know, he's dangerous. Let's stop him because, he's a terrorist. And I was just out of my body. When you remote view the Flight 800, you get a big spike. You get this little girl who's scared, and you get me on that flight. Because I was on that flight, out of my body, while those people were falling out of the sky. In real time, I was there. I just happened to be out of my body, traveling to the astral at that time. So I comforted that girl, and because of it, these inexperienced remote viewers confused me with a terrorist. And there was no terrorism. That flight went down because of mechanical failure, which later was proven by the NTSB. The FBI investigation, everything concluded that this was in fact a mechanical failure. This was not the act of terrorism. So Courtney Brown was completely wrong. He used something called analytical overlay. He used his imagination, got in the way of his data. And so when you think about this, the thing that followed it to blow you away, after Ed Dames debunks Courtney Brown, the heat's off me because I had nothing to do with that. I was just out of my body comforting that girl. And true, they were describing me in the desert to a T. Almost everything he said about me was so accurate. It was, whoa, that's me. That fucking pisses me off. So the thing about this, you know, just gets better and better. Shortly after Ed Dames goes on the radio, and debunks Courtney Brown, Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown gets this photograph in the mail. Now, we have these cells on Earth of people who are programmed to behave a certain way. They perform a certain function for society without knowing what they're doing. They're set up. They're being cultivated for a certain action. We have this Hale-Bopp cult, Heaven's Gate people, who were being prepared. And I'm not at liberty to describe how they were being prepared, but they were. They were sacrificial lambs. And right now we have cells of sacrificial lambs all over the world who are waiting for the right verbal cues, the right cues in society through media to behave a certain way. It's not like the Manchurian candidate. It's a little more sophisticated and more real than that. We have cells of people throughout the world that are ready to perform their duty as they are programmed to perform their duty with the right cues. Hale-Bopp cult, all they needed to see was that picture sent to Courtney Brown, and then they committed suicide. Well, actually, suicide, and they were murdered. All right. Anyway.
I didn't want to say anything because I wanted that impact to really hit with people. Because I don't know if, and, you know, when that cult, when they, you know, when that hit the news, it was like, well, another crazy cult, you know?
Yeah.
And, I don't think people realized that, yeah, they were actually being programmed for extinction.
You're right. They're being programmed to go down for a reason. They're sacrificial lambs.
Yeah.
They were sacrificed for a greater good, for an ideal. For some, I can't, we're not going to go too far into that, but this is a program that they were a part of. Think of life as being sort of like a play. You got actors and you got directors. You got people who write the play. Where are you in this play? Are you an actor? Are you a director? You're just audience, or are you just watching? You know, you like to see plays?
I probably end up as a grip.
Yeah. Right. Where are you? So we should always ask that. Where are we in this grand play? All right. Now, these people obviously had a role to play.
Yeah.
Right? They were actors. And they were playing a part. They did it very well because they were programmed to do this outside of their awareness, outside of their normal awareness. So you had this Hale-Bopp cult, a cell of people waiting to perform their duties. That's enough I'm going to say about that. I'm never going to say more than that. But, so there they are. And all they needed to see was that picture of a UFO next to Hale-Bopp. Now, Courtney Brown, let's go back to Dr. Brown. The reason why you have never heard of Dr. Brown, those of you listening to me now, is because Dr. Brown was defamed. He was destroyed in a number of ways. It was very clever how it was done. By the way, it's the first time this has ever been public. I'm really taking a chance telling you this, but fuck these people. This latest incident with the fake UFO in Las Vegas, that has pissed me off. So here's how I'm going to return the favor. I'm going to give you a little bit of secret here. I'm going to reveal something to you. It's going to make you trip on it real hard because you're going to see other things as a result of this. Dr. Brown was taken down publicly. He was destroyed. And here's how it happened. A photograph was sent to him. This is a photograph. It's a fake photograph. But a real UFO, a real picture of a UFO, through software, was superimposed on a real picture of Hale-Bopp. The problem is, when you remote viewed the UFO, it was real. If you remote viewed Hale-Bopp, it was real. And the technology used to render this photograph was such that Dr. Brown could not, through analysis, determine that the photograph ultimately was a fake because the software and the computer system that he had access to was not as powerful as the source, as the original computer and software program used to make that photograph. And the people who made that photograph knew what they were doing, and they knew that no university in the world could determine that this was a fake because no university in the world had this powerful of a computer. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. So it was a very good photograph. So Dr. Brown took the photograph, had it analyzed, and had it determined that it was a real photograph. And then he had his team remote view it, and sure enough, it was a real UFO. Sure enough, it was real Hale-Bopp. And he went public with this, claiming that Hale-Bopp is coming. And of course you had the lost white brother, the twin, the brothers, you have the return, and you know, every 500 years or so on, you have this return of the twin-tailed twin brothers, the blue brother and the white brother. The tails of Hale-Bopp are both blue and white. Well, culture, there's a lot of stuff about this, because people have been here 500 years ago, or, you know, every cycle this thing comes around, people create mythologies about this, create ideas about it. Well, Courtney Brown went into a little bit of that, only added his own special flavor to it, saying that there's a UFO, coming in with Hale-Bopp. Well, Heaven's Gate heard this, because they're avid Art Bell listeners, and they heard this, and they went nuts with it. This was their chance to go home. This was their chance for aliens to come and pick them up and go home. This was validation for them. And just as you had it with Jim Jones, you know, the Kool-Aid cult there, just as you had it with David Koresh, and just as you had it with with the Temple Solar cult. All of these situations that ended in disaster, this is another example. These people were murdered. As an example, now Courtney Brown was blamed for this, and it was later verified that that photograph was a fake, and it was sent to him to set him up, and that was publicly disclosed. And so Courtney Brown was made to look like a damn fool. Not only did his information kill people and get people killed, but his information that he went in national media with made him look like a damn charlatan, like a fool, because the photograph was later disclosed to be an absolute verifiable fake after the fact. And it destroyed Brown's credibility. Now, the way I manipulated Ed Daines to pursue the case, I have a lot of secrets, and there's reasons why I have secrets. There's a reason why I do things, and it's always for the greater good. The way I manipulated Ed Daines into going for the Elizabeth Smart case was to incite it. In those days, you see, Ed was still in a fight with his rival, Joni Doroth. And I manipulated Ed Daines to take on this case. And he did so, and he said so he was going to do so publicly with the Art Bell Show. And so Joni took the case, and Joni went nuts with this case. And, of course, invariably, like Courtney Brown, she found, you know, the body in an Indian burial ground of Elizabeth Smart. What did I find? I was so happy when I learned this. What did I find? I found Elizabeth Smart alive. No kidding, I did. And so when Ed and his other remote viewers, it was always a battle between my work and the other remote viewers' work that Ed was using, because I was always in conflict with the others. I was always right, and they were always wrong to some degree. So Ed eventually went with me, you know, because I had to fight to get him to believe me, because my stuff is so accurate and so detailed, it's hard to believe, because I'm that good. So Ed's not that good. He could never do what I do. So Ed naturally called me and said, "Aaron, she's dead, and we know where the body is, and we're on the way right now." I said, "Ed, don't you dare touch this at all. Ed, this stinks. Elizabeth Smart is alive. She is not dead. Damn it, Ed. You got to listen to me right now. You're going to go down with Joni Doroth if you do this." And I'm telling you, Ed Daines, and Ed and me on the phone arguing. I'm yelling at him. I'm yelling at Ed Daines, telling him, "Don't you be so goddamn stupid that you're going to go down with Joni if you do this." And I'm telling you, Ed, if my data says she is alive, this stinks. You stay away from this. So you just be quiet, Ed. You drop this case like a ton of bricks, and you turn your back and don't ever talk about it.
And he didn't listen to you.
He did listen to me. I saved Ed Daines' ass like I did many, many times. And he did listen to me, and when he listened to me, and begrudgingly he did, because he really wanted to do this case. He thought he really had a dead body. And I told him Elizabeth Smart was not dead.
He was about to go on Art Bell and announce it.
Yeah. Jennifer was there. I yelled at Ed Daines over this.
Yep, I was there. Me and Aaron both got the same thing.
Yep.
And we were trying to plead with Ed, "Look, she's alive."
And I couldn't tell Ed why.
And he had like five other students that were saying she was dead and where her body was located. And we were like, "No, they're not as experienced. You shouldn't go with them."
I know it.
And he was going to just say to Aaron, "No, I'm going to go with what, you know, because it's conflicting here." So he went on the air, and then...
He didn't talk about it, but he was very angry at me. And the thing about this is Joni went crazy with it. And let me tell you a little something that happens beforehand. Did you know that you can manipulate data? If you don't know, there are four levels of truth. And with stage three, for remote viewers who don't know the system, who are not, don't really know how things work spiritually, or they don't know how to work the astral, they don't really understand that it's a two-way communication system, that you have the level of propaganda. I call it the first level is a very silver, murky level. It's very difficult to see. Smoggy is the best way to describe the first level of truth. You can take remote viewing in stage three, and you can get into the first level, but never the second. Very rarely can you get into the second level of truth unless you're like me. Joni can get into the first level of truth, and she teaches the students to go in there. This is the level of propaganda. Now, what you can do before you go public with this, before you go Ed Gaines into doing this case, because you know if he does it and goes public with it, Joni will do it. That's how it was in those days. If I goaded Ed into doing this case, then it means all of the ambulance chasers, all the other people are going to do what Ed's doing. And that's exactly what happened. They fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. It's funny. So what I did is I went into the first level of truth, the level of propaganda. You can manipulate this. What I did is I injected the image of Elizabeth Smart in an Indian, in an Indian burial mound, not a burial site. I actually, pardon me, injected an image of, I injected an image of a mound, and that I put Elizabeth Smart inside that mound with sacred bones. You know why I did that? Because I never dreamt that this would ever be excavated. I wanted to keep any of the less, I wanted to keep all of the other less experienced remote viewers confused, eternally confused, because legally you can never, ever, ever tread on a sacred Indian burial site. You just don't do that. It's not only wrong, it's sacrilegious for them, for the Indians. It is the worst thing you can do to yourself spiritually. You don't tread on an Indian burial mound. You don't ever. You leave that shit alone. The Indians, they're very spiritual people, and you don't fuck with their grave sites. You just don't do that. So I never imagined in my wildest dreams that Joni would pressure the governor of that state to open up an Indian burial mound for those people to go tread in there and look in there over bogus data. And I did not inject the image of that particular burial site. I projected an image of Elizabeth being inside of a Indian burial mound. That's all. It was ridiculous. It was something I knew that no one could ever investigate. And that if you took it to stage three, and if you're inexperienced, you'd get a dead body. And so, actually, they're pretty good remote viewers. When you think about it, they actually got the Indian burial mound part really well. They really picked up on the Indian part. So I must say, for Joni, to give her credit, yeah, she's a pretty good remote viewer. You know, she really nailed that part of it, although the data was bogus, because I put it there. And I can teach my students how to manipulate the first level of truth, the level of propaganda. You can create any result amongst remote viewers. Remote viewing is flawed for this and many other reasons. It's because it's vulnerable to manipulation. This is why you can't have a team of remote viewers be accurate. Because the first person that goes in, there goes the virginity. Everything changes. It's never the same. The information is permanently changed. When you have other remote viewers look at it, each succeeding generation will cloud or create a murky type of atmosphere, and paradoxically, you will be further removed from the truth. It's sort of like entropy. In fact, it is entropy. Every step you make forward, you're taking two steps back. So I only have one person validate my work, and that's Jennifer, because I trust her. If I were to have Jennifer pick a person to remote view the subject, then it would be that much further, two more steps back from the truth. Jennifer's close enough to truth that she can help me determine what I'm looking at. But if I take another remote viewer and do the same, then it just becomes less accurate. Teams of remote viewers do not increase accuracy. When you hear people like Ed Dame say so, it's a lie. It's never been demonstrated. It doesn't work. You cannot work as a team as a remote viewer. You have to work as an individual, which is what it's supposed to be for. You as an individual have an obligation to spiritually grow and learn about yourself and to do things as an autonomous spiritual entity. Learn thyself. The most fascinating subject in the world is yourself. So that's an example of how the mass mind can be manipulated by one person. In my case, I was right in the middle of that whole thing. I've always been in the middle of a number of things. You wouldn't believe. I always seem, even the Columbine thing, there's a connection there, too. that one will really blow your mind.
Oh.
But this is something that will piss off a lot of people, but fuck them. I'm really angry about this situation with the propaganda, or not the propaganda, but
Prophet Yahweh.
Prophet Yahweh, yes, which is, you can't blame him, right? This is an African-American man who can see UFOs.
Yeah.
And he is, he's really seeing them, and he's a pawn, he's being used. So that, what you saw there on ABC News, that's fake. I don't see any of it.
Guy had like so many listeners wanting to know answers to stuff that I know from.
Next week there's a lot more to this.
But hopefully you'll be going in the chat. They'll probably bombard you there. But everyone was wondering, there was like a thing on the wall over your left shoulder. It's like a white design on the wall. Everyone's asking me, what is that thing?
Yeah, in fact, I'm getting a lot of people are saying that there's stuff behind me in the screen. I have no idea.
Yeah, it was when the sun was up, you could see it. It looked like an upside down skull or something. It was like a white design on the wall.
There's nothing there now.
Okay.
There's absolutely nothing there.
It might have been some kind of reflection or something.
Well, probably a reflection through the window. I don't know. It's just a blue wall there now. There's nothing there.
I was noticing that during the show. I'm like, what is that? So it's probably just some reflection off something maybe in the window.
It probably is. The sun was streaming in, and it was beautiful, but it got kind of hot there. I had to change position by the block that window.
Okay, well, I guess we'll get to Vermana and then the plastics affecting the pituitary gland next week.
Oh, yes. We didn't cover the xenoestrogen problem on planet Earth and the reason why men cannot get hard anymore, and this is only going to get worse.
I thought it was a NASCAR conspiracy, actually.
Yeah,
well, there was a news story about genitalia of men getting being born with small genitalia.
Yes.
Is a result of a chemical that mothers ingest. That's something that it's actually a toxin, and it causes the genitals of males to be deformed and create unusually small genitalia. It's something that's becoming a real problem, I guess, amongst newborns.
Yeah, well, you're seeing all kinds of problems with hormonal imbalance. And you see, we're breathing in, and we're drinking, and we're eating, and we're swimming in xenoestrogens. The plastics industry is huge. We've been stockpiling all the precursor chemicals to make plastics. Since the late 1800s, we've been producing petroleum. And you have Dow Chemical and a lot of these big companies that have an endless supply of precursor chemicals to produce plastics. And now that we're running out of resources, we're making everything out of plastic. And it's a terrible thing because, you see, you're breathing in to manufacture this stuff. These byproducts, you're breathing in this stuff. Everywhere you go, when plastic breaks down, there's a problem. When plastics are produced, there's a problem. You're breathing in this stuff, and it's creating hormonal imbalances in your body, and it's giving you cancer, breast cancer, both men and women, cancer of the prostate. You're getting cancers, and cancer rates are skyrocketing. And right now, currently, there's no cure for cancer. There are treatments, no cure. It's better to prevent cancer than it is to treat it. I think that the idea is that we need to clean up our environment, and that can help us buy time. Right now, your environment's polluted, and it doesn't matter if you're living. It doesn't matter where you're living in the world. We all share pollution. It's one airshed. You see, when you see clouds of toxic material that's being produced over China, it's being pushed over the United States, and that's going over into Europe. We all share the air on this planet. Not a single one of you listening to this will escape xenoestrogen. You're all being poisoned to death. And this problem is getting worse because manufacturing of plastics is an epidemic throughout the world. You see companies going up every day because it's profitable, because we're out of resources. we have plenty of chemicals that have been stockpiled since late 1800s due to the petroleum industry. And we're making plastics, and it's killing us. We're breathing it. It's in our food. It's everywhere.
Are there supplements you can take that kind of
goes
out of the body?
Yes, and we're going to talk about that week, how to defend yourself.
Okay.
Prevention is one of the things I'm really into. How to prevent the effects of xenoestrogen in your air, because you can't. It's impossible for us to get rid of this stuff. It's here, and it's only going to be worse tomorrow. So what can you do to create a hormonal imbalance in your body other than exercise? Because that's not enough. Living a healthy lifestyle is not enough to prevent some of these cancers and some of these problems from breathing in these byproducts from making plastic. You know, you see this propaganda that comes from the plastics industry saying better living through chemistry. They say that plastics save lives. What a lie. Plastic is killing people, and they know it. It's not saving lives. It's destroying our environment and destroying us. Avoid plastic at all costs. It's not saving your life. Plastic is not a good thing. I use glass everywhere because it is glass. Is renewable. Don't throw the stuff away. Use it. This is something that had, I believe, a tomato product in there. And I find that this is far better than a manufactured glass. And I avoid plastic as much as I can. And again, I'm going to next week take us back to the hemp issue. When you look at the source, you know, Henry Ford, for example, painted his Model Ts in oil-based paint. That was produced from hemp oil. It was a very good paint. The lac bug from China was used to produce the dark pigment, the black paint that you see in these Model Ts and in many other products. So this was, pardon me.
No problem.
God damn it.
No problem.
This damn lung. There we go.
All right.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we're... Hold on. He's drinking.
Yes. Hemp actually is going to really level... I so agree. If we just open our borders and just start exporting hemp, it would solve a lot of the world's problems. America would be rich overnight.
Yeah, they would be. But
we would be exporting a product because we're running out of resources. The entire world is looking for resources. We could start manufacturing hemp and exporting it to the world, solving this problem of needing the resources.
Right.
It would make us rich overnight. It is the solution. Aaron's absolutely right about that.
Hemp is the solution. And we can make all kinds of products out of hemp, not just clothing. We can replace many of the petroleum products that we use today. Better for the environment. And Jennifer, go ahead.
Exactly. The hemp products, I mean, you can make paper out of it. You can make, instead of trees, hemp would replace the need for trees. You could, you can use hemp for fuel. You can use hemp for, you know, even feeding people. It's endless amounts of resources are inside the hemp plant. So, I mean, that's the solution.
Yeah.
If America just started growing it and we exported it to the world and gave it, you know, at a cheap cost, opened our borders, America is the epicenter for change. Aaron's right, it's doomed because we aren't thinking in the right direction. And how do you wake people up?
How are we going to get America to legalize marijuana? Are we going to get America to legalize the use of hemp, the widespread use of hemp? I believe right now it's legal to import it, but I'm not sure how legal it is to grow hemp. I believe that a lot of states in the United States have banned the production of hemp and because they're worried that somehow you're going to mix in THC-producing plants with these other hemp plants that don't produce THC. So America's paranoid about drugs.
Exactly. It's the fear and hysteria of the anti-drug, you know, movement.
Anti-human conscious awareness movement.
Yeah.
I'm saying, who cares? We're experiencing a different problem. Who cares? THC is the last thing we need to be worrying about.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, people are, you know, no, 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 can't have that. So
well, we can't have our women going wild in the street. For example, this bride, this runaway bride, is now getting nailed. She's, and I don't mean sexually, I think this woman's getting nailed because she stood up and said, no, I don't want to marry. I don't want to be chained down. You can't legislate love, and you can't hold me to this. I'm running free. She'll never forget that feeling of freedom. She's representing, she's showing women all over the world that you can run away from marriage. You don't have to be pressured into this. Women are not owned by the institution. They're not owned by their men. They're not owned by the state. You cannot legislate love. Women are free.
That's right.
And so she represented the freedom of women. And, you know, not totally, but to a great extent, she symbolized a woman's decision right at the altar, the wedding altar, just run and say, fuck it, we're free. I'm not gonna be this way. I'm not gonna let man control me. I'm not gonna let the state control me. Nothing. Not these preachers. Nothing.
George Washington grew hemp. The founding fathers were growing hemp.
Used to be required of the United States. You had to grow it in order to survive the
Well, the U.S. Constitution is written on hemp paper, and the founding fathers all smoked marijuana, and they were high as a kite when they signed that thing, and that's a fact. The situation here with things were much different back then. You had 33rd degree Masons. You had people who are practicing occult rituals who were our founding fathers. And yes, they were smoking marijuana. They liked it. Thomas Jefferson loved marijuana. And look, the U.S. Constitution is written on hemp paper.
Well, they're trying to preserve it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say back to the runaway bride. I want to compare this to the clitoridectomies that's being done in the Middle East and in Africa, because you see, a clitoridectomy is a way of making a woman a slave. You don't want your women running wild in the streets, you see. So I compare the clitoridectomy to the way we're persecuting this woman for running away from her wedding altar. She's going to get the book thrown at her. She's being prosecuted. They're going to put her in jail. I don't think they should put her in jail. I can't believe this case could ever go that far. But she's going to have to pay up to $40,000. She's going to have she might have to spend time in prison. Really the issue of falsifying a document. You know, it's $1,000 fine and everything else. In fact, we're going to be pursuing issue of a document that was filed concerning a missing person, Julie Clark, who was never missing, obviously never missing. A bogus police report was filed claiming that she was missing. And we had a hell of a time proving that Julie existed, even though she was with me. She's seen publicly in California, has tried to call her up. She's contacted her family numerous times, and even contacted the police department there. Still, she was being hassled and hunted down. And because of the situation, these police were going to come in here with guns drawn, and they were going to bust down my door thinking they were going to save Julie. When she was never missing. She was never endangered. The police became the agents of harassment due to the bogus claim that Julie was missing. So these bogus police reports are a serious issue, and people should be prosecuted for them. But in any case, they should be prosecuted reasonably. In the case of the runaway bride, and we are going to prosecute Julie's father. We're going to pursue that. We're looking at the police report, and which was obviously bogus.
Yeah, the site actually pulled her picture down too. It
took them forever to do that.
Yeah,
and that shows you that these missing people, these missing children sites, all bogus, just garbage.
Yeah.
Here I am, capable of finding anyone in the world within 15 minutes, and they're pulling this shit on me. A slap in my face is what it was. But what's coming is, of course, we're going to go ahead and prosecute Julie's father, probably for more than just that. Anyway. Back to the runaway bride, this situation where, and I am comparing it to the treatment of women in Africa and in parts of the Middle East, where the clitoris is removed on women at puberty, to prevent them from going wild in the streets and so on, to control women. Now, here in the United States, if you dare run away from your groom on your wedding night, we're going to put you in jail. We're going to put you on TV and show the whole world how insane you are, how bad you are. Jennifer, how does that make you feel as a woman?
Well, it makes me very angry to think about that.
I've been warning, I told you that you're going to see sex negativity, you're going to see attack on women since this new pope is in office, and you're going to see it here in the West, you're going to see it all over the world. This is just the beginning of the attack on women that you're going to see. And understand what you're really seeing when you see this on the news every night.
Well, it reminds me of when Freud came out with his theories about women, their uteruses flopping around and our insanity, and all the techniques to cleanse women of evil spirits over the years because of our insanity. Let's see, I can go into thousands, I can go back into thousands of years of torture that's been, like, committed on women because we simply are free. We are free beings. We are not to be controlled, but I don't understand what's wrong with these people that think that they can just, you know, control women.
And
marriage is another one of those things. It's just ridiculous.
And I want you men to know that you're not free. You think you're in power. You think you're controlling women. You only think that you're controlling them. They still have the power. You're just oppressing them, and they're going to take it out on you. It does not help man to oppress woman. Man can only be happy if he sets her free.
That's right.
In my world, as a Luciferian, all of the women around me are free, and they're happy because of that. I don't tell them what to do. I don't control them. I'm in the process of initiation, and they understand that there are certain situations that they have to conform to. Well, this is a temporary situation. But as far as women, they make their own decisions. They're free, and they are here to teach me. I'm not here to teach them. I know what I am as a man. I agree with Joseph Campbell. Men play a role, so do women. So, but anyway. Back to the hemp issue, yes, you know, America could become the wealthiest nation and most powerful nation overnight, and well-respected throughout the world, if we were to legalize marijuana and to replace the petroleum industry to a great extent, a lot of the products that we're producing from harmful chemicals, we can use hemp to really make a difference in our planet's ecosystem. Hemp is good for you. There's nothing wrong with it. It produces the finest clothes, the finest rope, and the finest paints, and the finest, and these things are less harmful than petroleum-based products, traditional petroleum-based products. These things are far less harmful. Biodiesel, for example, or if you were to esterify a vegetable oil or hemp oil for a fuel, you would limit the amount of hydrocarbons that are being released as a result of this burning of this fuel. Whereas these hydrocarbons you're getting from traditional fossil fuels, from cheap oil, and it's very, very harmful to the environment. It's not so harmful if you only have a few people doing it, but if you have 6 billion people on the planet with an automobile, we're in bad shape. I don't think we'll ever get to that. I hope we don't. We might have, you know, a lot of refrigerators being manufactured now, and that's not good for us, but the automobile, I believe, is the worst thing in the world for the world. I don't think people need automobiles. I think we need mass transportation, and we need to eliminate the automobile on planet Earth. Only for certain reasons should we have the automobile. Yeah. Anyway, that's the show today, and we're going to talk more about the connection between some of these cults, these disaster cults. And we're gonna just clearly define what's going on here with the Luciferian movement, because right now I'm in the midst of initiation. And we're going to bring in Sasha and a number of other women here until we have the entire group of 11 women. And these women will become the most powerful women in the world. Why? Why? And look at the irony of this. During a time when women are being destroyed socially throughout the world, there's an attack on women, unlike that we've ever seen before in human history. At the very same time, I'm giving these primary 11, you have to forgive me, my lung is, I got a collapsed lung here. These primary 11 are going to be given all power. The secrets which have been withheld from them for over 3,000 years, they've been given to these women. And today's women alone, they're going to be your role model in the future. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
And not giving it to men, by the way. It's going to women. And they are going to be closer to Lucifer than I've ever been.
Wow.
So the initiations are now, they have now begun.
Cool. Well, everyone's wishing you well.
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm tough. Are you kidding me? I've been worse than this. Hell, I've been near death more than once.
Okay. Well, everyone's sending some good vibes your way.
Oh, thank you.
I'm glad that the initiation has begun.
It's a little hard to breathe, that's all, but fuck it, man. I'm happy.
All right.
Yeah, I just slept 4 days. That probably helped me to get a good night rest.
Yeah, I think it would.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thank you again so much. And, Jen, thank you.
No problem. Anytime, Steve.
It's been a great show again. Everyone's really digging it, and they're really loving the video. They're really liking to be able to see you.
Okay, I guess so. All right.
Okay.
I think they want to see the primary 11 more than they want to see me.
Well, you know, it's a package.
They are beautiful. Oh, man.
It's a package.
From head to toe, we're talking. They're just amazing. And
yes.
They're so lively. They just have this energy about them, which is healing. And they make me very, very happy. These are very, very special women. And they're precious to me, every last one of them.
Yeah.
Really, I appreciate them being a part of this.
Cool. Yes.
So, Sasha, I know you're listening to this. Thank you. You're going to be here soon.
Cool.
Spread it.
And we'll go ahead and we'll put the video up in the archives. I'll break them out in video and audio formats so people who want to download just the audio. And the video should be good. So if you want to bring it down, if you weren't able to see it, should be able to see it. All right. All right. Well, thank you, too, again so much. Any parting comments, Jen?
Nope. Just women stay free. Don't get married.
And if you are married, tear up those marriage, those are wedding vows.
And you go do what you want.
Right. You see that young buck out there, you know?
Yes.
You know what to do.
Go wild in the street.
It only does the planet good when you go wild in the street.
Jealousy is so stupid. It so is. It's a sign of spiritual immaturity.
Yep.
Teach your man. Make him jealous.
There you go.
All right,
well, thank you again. We'll go ahead and call the show, and we'll be back again next Sunday. Get the video rocking and everything. So, all right, you too, thank you so much. And everyone out there, thank you for listening once again. This has been Radio Aaron, Voice of Lucifer at RadioAaron.com. And also you can come into the chat during the show and also during the week. The chat link is at RadioAaron.com, and also we have a forum link you can get on as well. We restructured the chat so you don't have to register. So you just come to the chat, type in a name, click the guest box, and then hit enter, and then come into the room. All right, thank you again so much, and we'll see you all again next week. All right, bye, you guys.
Bye, and let's push it to 9 million if we can, okay? Let's do that. That's our goal.
That would be awesome.
All right.
All right, bye-bye, y'all.
Bye.